This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 227. What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. And we're not on the road this week.
No, we're sitting on my dining room table.
Yep.
I meant to tell you this before we started.
Okay, point that car salesman finger at me again. Yeah.
MOI class today, I got told that I had an excellent voice for voiceovers or radio. But there was no insult of face for radio followed up from it, you know.
Oh.
He actually meant it. Yep. Yeah. Like, he went on about it for, like, a good longer than I – it got a little awkward. Because he just kept going back to it, and like uh-huh. The other people I was up there with that also did their little 2-minute speeches, he was not as, and he goes, not that you guys don't have a good voice, but his voice.
Yeah. Well, you enunciate.
Yeah.
You project.
Yeah.
You know, those are key things right there.
Yep.
That's why I always had to make the announcements when I was at Lennon's and things, because right. You know, everybody else was like, or they get really quiet because they could hear themselves. No, you project.
Yeah.
You don't yell.
Right.
You just
project.
Forcefully push your voice forward.
Yeah. It's like talking on the radio at work when I'm dispatching. You want to enunciate and project so that the officers can hear you.
Yeah.
And that you're clear. So I've been doing that for so long.
What I always like now, I have, you know, the office job, but getting into a conference room and, you know, having the boss sit there and be like, you know, okay, let's get started. Let's get started. And everybody's just mumbling. And again, kind of like you with your dad thing.
Yeah.
I don't have to raise my voice. I just project and I go, hey, and everybody just stops.
Yeah.
Lori wants to get going.
We're going
to
get going now. Yeah.
Yep. Just got to project. That's all it is. So there was, holy shit, there was so much to watch this week. And my God, there was some good stuff.
Yeah, I watched a lot of stuff. I got some news too. I got a bigger chunk of news than I expected. I didn't share any of it with you either. Like, I didn't send you
share one. Because you were just about to, I was just about to share it to you.
Oh, the one thing, yes, yeah.
But like,
otherwise,
this week we ended the second season of Hannibal. We began the third season of Dark. We started Cobra Kai. I mean, we've got a lot going on here. We're busy.
Yeah, we are. Let's just jump into. Well, you have so many notes on Dark. I'll just say this real quick. I'm all caught up in Tacoma FD.
I love that show.
I watched the most recent one, which was like the horror funhouse one, which you think would come out in October.
Right.
And it's hilarious.
It was probably meant to, but, you know, schedules and everything.
I had just watched Silence of the Lambs prior to watching this, because uh-huh. That's what I'm going to talk about that later. It was funny to see all the little
nods
and tributes and everything. Uh-huh. And I love how, like, the older people are making the references.
Yeah.
And, like, his daughter just wasn't getting it. Farva's daughter. It's not Farva, but Polonsky's daughter was just wasn't getting it.
Yeah.
And that was just, he put the lotion in the basket. you haven't seen the movie? No, I haven't seen the movie.
Love that show so much.
When he sees the Buffalo Phil guy, he's like, hey, nice tuck. Finally, someone gets the reference.
Oh, yeah.
Anyhow, Dark.
So, Dark. Holy Jesus. So, we ended this. Again, everybody, you need to be watching this show, not just listening to us talk about it.
Yeah, no, we're on season 3. We've only got 6 episodes left to watch.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard
then it's done.
To burn through them.
Yeah, it is. But we're doing pretty good with doing 2 at a time.
Yep.
It's a lot to take in. So, this is the final season.
Mm-hmm.
We ended on the cliffhanger of, you know, the other Martha showing up and saying that it's not what time I'm from, it's what world I'm from.
Yes.
So this episode is called Deja Vu.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off, we get 3 mystery guys. One thing that I love about this show.
In the credits, they actually refer to them as unknown.
Yes. And on IMDb, they also refer to them as unknown. Even on IMDb, older Jonas is referred to as Mystery Man.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that they're willing to go that extra distance and be like, unknown man, unknown man, unknown yep. man. But basically, it's a kid, and I'd say he's probably like 10, 11, 12, a middle-aged guy and an old guy. And they're yeah. all the same guy because yes. they all have that same weird cut in their lip.
It's not only that, but they're wearing the same clothes, just size appropriate. Yep. Same blue shirt, same slacks, same jacket. It's just the middle-aged one seems to do all the talking and the killing.
Mm-hmm. So basically, they show up in what looks to be Adam's room, you know, yes. his little war room, and it's all scorched. They
burn it down.
Well, yeah, it was all like black and charred before, and then they burn the whole place down after finding a blueprint for what looks like the device.
Yes.
Don't know if this is the future, the past, or even what world it is.
Right. It doesn't specify what time it is that they're there.
Correct.
Here's the other thing that's interesting is like in the second episode, they kept talking about no matter what year we were in, the apocalypse was in 3 days, 2 days, yes. 4 days, whatever it was. But the apocalypse occurred in
2019.
2020.
Yes. Well, yeah, 2020. Yeah.
And the apocalypse actually occurred in 2020, even though we're seeing the past how many days till. It's all the events aligned together to create the apocalypse, but the actual only events occurred in 2020.
Yes. So even though it's June 24th, say, in 1987, that is happening simultaneously with June 24th in 2020.
Correct.
Is how they explain all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we jump right in with Martha and Jonas. They're escaping with the glowy ball. She gives him some lines about, you know, your world and my world form a knot. This is the beginning. This is the first day that we met.
Right.
And she says, I'll make this right, and then poofs out.
Yeah, she disappears and leaves him in this parallel world.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that at first. He's just in the cave. Correct. But it is the parallel world.
Yes, we do learn that he's in the parallel world.
So
we
see
that Martha, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but that Martha in the parallel world looks exactly as the same as the Martha that just left him.
Yes.
Yet this Martha has no idea who he is and doesn't seem to know anything about what's going on.
We can tell she's from an alternate universe because she has bangs.
She has different hair, but they don't look any different age-wise. So I'm wondering.
Well, that's because they give us the date and it says 4th of November, 2019.
Yeah.
But all the letters are backwards.
Yes, that's right. And this happened in 2020. So only a few months, 6 months, 7 months later, now she has this new world travel device takes you to parallel world. So a lot happens to her in the next seven months. All right, there we go. Yep.
So we've got 4th of November, 2019. But again, the letters are backwards.
Yeah, I saw that.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
So again, I have lots of notes here because there's so many things that are different.
Fire them off.
This version of the world, Magnus has dark hair and lots of tattoos. Like he's a real grunge kid in this.
He's got a lot of like homemade tattoos.
They're really cheap looking.
Yeah, thank you.
But he's still banging Francesca.
I'm going to say our world.
Yeah.
He's definitely pining after her, and she's kind of, but they're not really doing anything about it. You know,
well, they still had that one sex, and then she snuck out. But
right.
Yeah,
but otherwise,
she's just like, I'm too good for you.
Yeah, but in this world, they are full on a couple who fuck on the regular.
But she's deaf, and her sister Elizabeth is not.
Right. And there's a lot of things flipped and flopped around. Yep. Keep going, yeah.
Okay, so Magnus is like that. The world seemed very foggy. Did you notice that? Like there was fog everywhere. I don't know if it's just because it was November. Katarina and Ulrich are divorced. Katarina has glasses.
Yeah.
Ulrich is living with Hannah.
He's married to Hannah.
Who's pregnant.
Yeah.
She never had Jonas because in this world we find out Mikkel never went back. So he never became Michael, never married Hannah. Jonas was never born. And we find out, we kind of circumvent around and find out from old Martha that, you know, you'd said, what if I was never born into the world?
Yes.
What if I never existed? This is what the world is like if you never existed. This is the world.
But we're seeing a lot of the same exact stuff that we saw from episode one. Of season one.
Yes.
Except instead of Jonas riding on his bike and seeing people, basically Martha's experiencing in this world what Jonas experienced in our world.
Yes.
From episode one, season one.
But now we've got a new kid in the picture, Killian.
Yes.
And that's the brother of Eric, the missing kid, who seems to be missing in both worlds.
No, I thought it was flipped around. I thought Eric was missing in our world, and Killian was missing in our world, and Eric was there. And then I thought so.
Hmm. Well, Martha is dating Killian in this one, and Eric is missing.
And I thought it was the other way. I thought Killian was the missing
maybe
one.
It
maybe
is.
I'm wrong. I'm going back to look. Continue talking.
We still have old man Helgi.
Oh, sorry. Eric is missing in the original one as well.
So he's missing in both of them, which is the only thing that seems to be tying them together. Very interesting. That Eric, of all people, would go missing. So she's not dating Bartosz in this world. She's dating Killian.
Yes.
We still got old man Helgi, and he's still mumbling about it will happen again. He's actually worse off this time. Instead of just the mashed in ear and the mashed in side of the face, his eye is actually like all not even swollen shut. It's like it's grown shut from all the scar tissue. So he got a worse beating in this world. However, we discover he's not in a rest home. He's with Charlotte and Peter. He's living in their house. Mike's really intrigued by...
No, I'm looking up Killian to see if he was in season one at all.
I don't think that he was.
Not that I can see here, no.
Yeah, I don't remember his name. So yeah, Charlotte and Peter have Helgi in their house. This time, so apparently Ulrich is a dog in any universe. Because in this one, he broke up with Katarina, married Hannah.
After getting her pregnant, I'm assuming.
Super pregnant.
Yeah.
But he's sleeping with Charlotte. She's his side piece in this one.
And in the original, in our world, it was Charlotte's husband who was having an affair with the transsexual guy, yeah.
Now, I had to write down his name, Torben Wooler, but I kept calling him One-Eyed Willie.
Yes.
Because he had one eye. In this one, he has both of his eyes, but he's missing an arm.
He's missing half his left arm.
So I'm like, wow, this guy can't catch a break.
No, he cannot.
Let's see. Jonas finds Martha's house in this world. He's kind of rocked a little bit because, you know, like Ulrich has been ripped out of the family photo. There's pictures of her with Killian.
Yeah.
Not Bartosz.
Now, am I not mistaken when I say that Charlotte and company are living in Jonas's old house?
That's what it looks like because Hannah's house is gorgeous. Like Hannah and Ulrich are in a nice place.
Yeah, I think Hannah and Ulrich are in Ulrich's house from the original world and in this parallel world. You know what I mean? Because I feel like when Jonas went to his room, that's now Martha's room.
Right. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So Ulrich looks darker, more weathered in this version.
He does look a little
more Charlotte, on the other hand, looks more made up.
Yeah.
Like Charlotte always had like a kind of plain Jane, no makeup, no hair kind of thing in our world. In this one, like she looks a little poppin', like not supermodel, but she's got makeup. Her hair is done a little nicer. Yep. Maybe because she's impressing Ulrich. I don't know. But Hannah finds a blonde hair on Ulrich's jacket. She knows he's screwing around because apparently in any universe, Ulrich is going to screw around.
Well, and then we see later on in this episode, or is it in the second episode, maybe, actually? Because he does the same thing. He gets up, and he's late getting back to the house. You remember in the first season of episode one, season one, Ulrich's out fucking Hannah, and he comes back with croissants for the kids, and, oh, the bakery took forever, when in fact he was fucking someone else.
Right.
He did the same thing in this one, where he told Hannah that he was going to get, you know, croissants for the kids, and that, geez, the bakery took forever. And then we found out when Hannah talks to Charlotte, oh, did you see Ulrich this morning? He was bringing something for the kids. And Charlotte's like, no, he didn't. And then we find out he's having the affair with Charlotte.
Yep. So basically, Jonas goes to the school. He sees Martha, and he goes into class. He basically goes into the classroom that she's in, and he sits down. The teacher's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I need a paper or something like that.
He transferred in. He hasn't gotten his paper signed.
Yeah. And this Martha doesn't know him, doesn't recognize him, has no idea because the other Martha told him this is the day that we first meet. Mm-hmm. So this is him first meeting her. And she's doing a play in this one, but this play seems different, and it's talking about knots and destiny and being tied together, much like this Martha was talking about. As he's leaving, he sees Hannah in the hallway, and he calls her mom, and she's like, who are you? Because he was never born in this
world. Right.
Yeah, Michael Conwald never existed in this world. Magnus and Francisca are now humping in the bunker because he knows that her family owns a bunker and, you know, it's a great place for them to hook up and not get caught. Yeah, Elizabeth isn't deaf here. She's asking Helgi if he's okay. He tells her the beginning is the end. The end is the beginning. So that's a little backwards.
Helgi's still screwed up, yeah.
Yeah, I was saying how, like, even his eye now is wrecked. Now, this was interesting. In this version, Peter is a priest.
Yes.
Or at least he's wearing the priest collar like Noah was.
Yes.
And so we go to the graveyard. There's no Michael Conwald, but there's a Daniel Conwald. And he tells him, he says, you know, Daniel is, he died in 1964. Peter says that Jonas looks familiar to him, and then Jonas kind of takes off.
Yeah.
But yeah, is Peter the new Noah? Are they doing time travel in this? Because we haven't determined that yet either.
No, we haven't.
Then we get back to the three mystery men again. Now they're going up to a mansion. It's 21st of September, 1987. There's an old man in a wheelchair. The kid of the three asks him for the master key to the power plant. And the middle-aged guy garrots him.
Yeah, now, okay, we know who this...
Nothing is free, no breath you take, no word, no action, an everlasting miracle of nothingness. And then garrots him.
But we know who this is.
The guy in the wheelchair?
Yeah.
Is it Alexander?
No. Yeah, no, no, because I'm trying to think of who it is. Because we do know who it is.
Okay. I feel like you're probably right.
Yeah. There was so much.
There was.
Because you haven't gotten to the...
Right.
The ending, yeah, essentially.
We do see Alexander briefly here. He's paying off some guy in the junkyard. Basically, he's asking him to bury toxic waste.
Yeah.
You know, so that's happening over here as well. Martha has Jonas's yellow coat. And yes. I realize there's nothing unique about it. It's a yellow raincoat. But Jonas was wearing it throughout the whole first season.
Right.
And second season. And now Martha's the one wearing it.
Like I said, if you watched what Martha, a lot of what Martha does in this episode, season 3, episode 1, is exactly what Jonas did in season 1, episode 1.
Yep.
Just that she's, you know what I mean, repeating what he did.
He meets up with her. He tries to tell her that this is a glitch in the Matrix. It's deja vu. We've met before. She's not buying any of it. We see that the kids all meet up like last time. You know, they're all going to go into the caves and, for whatever reason this time.
Yes.
But Jonas, little Mikkel, of course, because Mikkel's old enough to look after himself. He doesn't need a babysitter.
Which he was the same age previously, but wasn't old enough to look after himself. Yep. We cut to Mikkel, who's asleep.
Yep. And I got to figure that that's the single parent upbringing type of thing. Because Martha, that was another thing. Martha had said early on in the episode, Katarina told her, you know, you're going to go to your father's this weekend. She's like, do I have to? I hate it.
Yeah.
It sucks. Yeah, Bartosz is talking about Nostradamus predicted the world would end this year. And this is while they're all going into the cave. Well, maybe. We get an EMP blast, kind of like in the original world.
Yeah.
You know, lights flickering everywhere, birds falling down from the sky. Martha falls and gets separated, which that was Mikkel last time.
Yep.
So this is going to be how she hears a whispering, sinister female voice, calls her name. Some woman in a white dress covered in oil reaching out to her.
But then Killian's back.
Yep.
And she gets together with her friends and they all go to the bunker.
Yep. They all go to the bunker. But then a rift opens and a dead kid drops out and it's Mads.
It's Mads Nielsen who
has the ID right on him so they can identify him. It's not like last time where they tried to figure it out.
Well, no, last time they hid the ID.
Right.
They knew who it was. They hid ID and then they put his body where it belonged.
Yep.
That's kind of where we leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, it's now Martha and Magnus finding Mads, and they know that this is their uncle that's been missing for years.
Yep. And then we've got the old Martha who comes to talk to Jonas outside the house. She says she's waited a long time for this moment, for him to come back. She says this is the world without him like he wanted. Despite that, the world still will fall apart no matter what, again and again, because of him and because of her. They had some interesting transitions. I made note of this. They had some interesting transitions when you were going from time to time, where it was like a little, almost like the old TV when you would turn off a TV and it would kind of bloop. Yep.
Yeah. Kind of bloop. Yeah.
So we go back to 21st of September, 1888.
And this is alternate dimension Martha or other Martha in our world.
In our world in 1888.
Yep.
It's a Tesla-like lab. There's middle-aged Jonas. There's the kids.
Yes. Because they all zapped out, and that's where they went after before the apocalypse hit.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, seeing...
She says she's not Martha, or at least not his Martha. Right. She's here to help him find the origin, the beginning of everything in his world and hers.
Now, in the beginning of the second episode, we're in 1880 again.
Which is called The Survivors.
Yes. And Francesca, Magnus, and Barto meet other Martha as well. And they're at the Tannhaus Machinery Factory. And
Tannhaus, yeah.
And Barto tells Martha about how they got to 1888.
Yep.
And to me, now more so than ever, and I don't know if it's because you planted the seed. But to me, like, I'm seeing Barto in the clothing he's in. I'm like, that is fucking Adam.
It Barto really looks is like Adam, him, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what kind of almost what I'm convinced of. Because part of you is like, oh, I bet you maybe that Jonas got fucked up the way he looks because he was traveling between worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, Barto looks like Adam, or Adam looks like Barto, or whatever.
Don't forget that this episode opened, like a lot of the episodes opened, with the sex scene between Jonas and Martha, except for this time it was Martha dreaming it.
Yes.
So, yeah, we...
God, there's so much in this episode, too.
There is. 22nd of September, 1987.
Yep.
Our Katerina
yep.
wakes up in Mikkel's room.
Yes.
Mikkel's gone. He's been missing for 3 months yep. since the apocalypse happened, because we now find out that 3 months have passed since the apocalypse, but it's again 3 months in each time period.
Right.
So it's September. He's gone. The nurse isn't there at the house. She was sleeping in his room. Katerina was, which is just weird.
Yeah.
Now we start getting more into Ulrich's parents, which we really didn't touch upon
right.
in the first couple of seasons. I had to actually look up the names. But Mads was given a funeral despite not having a body.
And Jenna is not having it. She's drunk. She's like, why are we burning an empty casket? Oh, so we can feel better.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she basically calls out her husband for having an affair with Claudia Tiedelman.
And she not even calls what's the poor. She's like, oh, well, maybe, you know, if you cared more, you basically, she says he doesn't give a fuck. Mads missing for 3 months. He only cares about Claudia missing. And when he says, like, I don't know what you're talking about. She dumps out some bag of his that's full of newspaper articles about Claudia's disappearance.
Yep.
And so Tronti just like, whatever, and he leaves.
Yep. Of course, we will find out later on that we don't get absolute confirmation, but it's like a 99% that Regina is his daughter, not
yes.
Alexander's.
Yes, we see the awkwardness of her, of him going to visit her, of him offering her a ride home. And there's a whole lot of awkwardness and everything. And when you think about, oh, wait, that's his daughter. He was almost giving off
predator vibes.
Well, yeah, but instead of it's like, no, they're awkward dad vibes of like, your mother's missing. I really want to tell you who I am, but I can't.
Right.
But instead she's getting like, you know, creepo fucking guy wants to fuck me vibes.
Yep. So basically this means that Regina and Ulrich are half brother and sister.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly normal in this
world,
because we've got somebody who is a mother to her daughter, who is her mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by the end of the episode, basically, Tronti is just like, yeah, I'm going to give up my search.
Yep.
For Claudia, because I got to make my I'm choosing my family.
Yep.
And she seems cool with that.
Yep.
Which, I got to be honest, if my wife cheated on me, I'd be getting divorced. I wouldn't be cool with that. Because that makes me look like a fucking schmuck. That's just my opinion on the subject matter.
They have a word for that. What is it? Cuck.
Yeah. Cuckled.
Yep.
Yeah.
So now we're back in our time. And yep. again, it's been 3 months. Elizabeth and Peter are together, but Charlotte is not with them. And she seems to be missing. They're looking for her. But they're walking around. They're coming out of the trailer that's trans...
They're in post-apocalyptic world.
Yes.
And they're going to... Were we in the future where the wall is built? That's where they're going because they're trying to identify body. The body of their mother or daughter.
There are lots of pictures of bodies.
Yes.
Body bags.
Yeah.
We hear a nice news report that talks, kind of gives us a little bit of a story behind it. And it says that they speculate that on June 27th, the world stood still for a fraction of a nanosecond, yes. which caused everything to collapse.
Yep.
You know,
the world literally stopped.
Yep. And it threw everything off. And they believe that it started right here in their.
In Sweden. Yep.
Yep.
But it's affected the whole world. Gravitational pull, the tides,
yep.
The nuclear power plants across the world going out because of it.
Elizabeth and Peter, when they're making their way over there, have to take a Geiger counter.
Yes.
And watch out for areas that are high radiation.
Yep.
Which we've seen in the future that Elizabeth didn't fare so well with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the military is supposed to wall off the area. There's some hooded figure following them.
Yes.
Martha knows... Okay, so Martha knew to come back to 1888.
Yes.
Because Jonas told her when he traveled to her world.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that happen
nope.
yet. The old man comes, tells them that they're late. The machines aren't running yet. He's blind. This is old man Tannhaus.
Yeah, and he's blind. And basically, he is the founder of the Sic Mundus.
Yep.
That's what we come to find out.
Because Jonas told him about the time machine.
Yep.
And he's like, you're going to rebuild it. Because as Jonas says, we're in 1888. Nuclear material hasn't even been heard of yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, we can't come by it. So we've got to find an alternate way to power up the machine. So that's why they're doing all these experiments. And Tannhaus is like, goddamn right you are.
And this is what's interesting is like, as Bartow is explaining all this to Martha, he takes her to what is going to become essentially Adam's quarters that were we see burnt down at the beginning of this episode that we've seen Adam in.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's weird.
Again, Bartos.
Yeah, and it's weird how Tannhaus is involved in all this.
Uh-huh.
And yet later on, Tannhaus, the great grandson that writes the book and actually builds the time machine, is not involved with Sic Mundus in any way. That's kind of something.
It is.
It's weird how he's been etched out. In all this, Martha basically is telling Bartow that, you know, Adam, who killed your Martha. And basically Bartow's like, who is Adam? Who is he? Like, and that, and Martha says, oh, you don't know? Jonas is Adam. So this Martha knows that Jonas is Adam. And that's kind of the last thing we see in the episode. That's not the last thing we're going to talk about.
Right,
we still have
right,
more to talk about.
Yep.
That's kind of the last thing we see in the episode is Martha telling Bartow that Jonas is Adam. So obviously Bartow doesn't know he's
no.
Adam yet.
Nope. The last thing that we see is old woman Martha.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
But you're right. That's,
yeah.
Yeah. She basically drops the bomb that, you know, Adam is Jonas.
Yeah.
We have a whole scene where Katarina is back in 87 handing out flyers for Mikkel.
Yes.
And she's asking everybody, you know, have you seen him? Have you seen him? And then she sees young Ulrich.
Yes.
And she's like, wait a minute. And suddenly she gets a memory back because she sees her young self. She sees young Hannah. She sees young Ulrich, and she remembers something that happened because Ulrich's like, well, maybe that maniac that escaped got him.
Yes.
So she goes to the asylum and finds Ulrich.
Because she had the memory of someone escaping from this psychiatric asylum and grabbing a kid.
Yep.
But then the guy getting caught and the kid being okay, but she didn't remember it was Michael Conwald.
She remembered that her mother told her
about
this.
It. Yeah.
And it's one of those, it kind of reminded me of Frequency, you know, yeah. when he suddenly gets the new memories.
Yes. Here's what's interesting. Apparently, Michael's gone.
Yeah.
He hasn't been back to school since the abduction, so we don't even know how that's going
to
affect
the future.
Something
happened to him 3 months ago.
Right. And that's when the abduction happened. Clearly, his mother, quote unquote, took him and they left Winden, I'm guessing. Which yeah. leads me to how is he going to marry Hannah and then have Jonas and this and that then in the future. But whatever, it is what it is. We'll get there.
Right.
But yeah, she goes to the psychiatric
She goes
center.
To the psychiatric hospital and we find out why her mother told her about the escaped mental patient because her mother is the nurse who's
mother
doing
works
the
there. Yep.
And so she kind of has this, you know, her mom's like, do I know you? You look familiar somehow.
Mm-hmm.
She points out the pendant that she's wearing and says, you know, my mother had one of those and basically gets in good with her mom so that her mom lets her go back and see Ulrich. And he kind of loses it a little
yeah.
bit. You know, he's just like, oh my God, it's you. Please get me out of here. And she says she will get him out of there.
Yep.
You know, she's going to try to get her out. But we don't see much more of that. She still has to leave the hospital without him for right now.
But at the same time, we have 1987 Charlotte doing her homework at the table, her mother coming home and just freaking wrapping her in the back of the
yeah.
head and going, clean up the table.
Yeah.
don't make me tell you twice.
Yep.
And her mother kind of, and when Katarina looks back at her mother, kind of at the right angle or whatever, her mother kind of sees a flash of the girl she saw at the asylum that day looking at her in the same way. And almost like she's putting two and two together that, did I see my daughter today?
Right.
Somehow, like one of those deja vu-y type things.
Yep. Now we go back to 87. Claudia Tiedemann's secretary comes into her office and finds our three mystery men scrambling around looking for stuff, trying to find some stuff. And they know her.
Yes.
They know her name is Jasmine. They say that hell is empty and all the devils are here. And then they garrote her.
Can kill her. And yep. She looks pregnant, by the way.
She does. So now this was interesting too. We've seen Claudia. She's in the future, in the ruined future, taking care of Regina in like a burned out husk of a building. She's got her hooked up to like, you know, heat lamps and stuff. And she's trying to keep her alive. Well, now we get old Tronte showing up to Regina and saying, this is how it has to be. This is, what does he say? Hold on. He says, he's sorry, but this has to happen. She said it's the only way to save you.
Yeah.
And then he smothers her with a pillow.
Kills her.
Yep. I just wrote in here, Elizabeth wants some answers from Peter now.
Yeah.
Like, she's got an attitude, but of course it's sign language. Right. So they don't find
Charlotte.
Because she's in the future with future
Elizabeth. Yeah, or Francesca.
Yep.
At the place. They find out that the military is going to build a wall around there in a few days.
Yep.
So they go back to, is it their house?
I think it is their house.
They go to their house, and the hooded figure shows up, and it's young Noah.
Yes.
And he's talking to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is like, oh, where are you staying? He's like, I'm living in the caves. He writes it down for her. Then Peter shows up, and basically Noah fucking tells Peter, oh, no, I understand you're doing what's best for her, but you got to understand I'm watching out for her too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep looking out for her when you die in a few days.
Yeah. You're going to be dead soon. I will take over.
Yeah.
And then we see him digging out the tunnels by hand.
Yes.
Like he's digging out the collapsed tunnels.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
And then now old Martha in 2019 showing Jonas the – somehow she has like – the family trees from both Windens.
And it's
side by each.
Etched into the floor. Like
the granite stone.
Yeah.
And basically it shows that both worlds are doomed no matter what. They're sharing the same fate and that there's a connection.
They all lead to one tile in the middle that has the infinity symbol on it.
And she says the apocalypse in our world is in 3 days.
Yep. She says they will always come to where they're supposed to be, whether he is there or not. Cool.
They got a lot of explaining to do in 6 episodes.
They sure friggin' do.
So.
Whew. So as long as we're talking heavy stuff, you want to finish off season 2 of Hannibal?
I think we need to lighten the mood a little bit.
Okay, let's lighten the mood.
Let's talk about Cobra Kai.
Okay.
So this came out. The first season came out a few years ago on
YouTube. It was like YouTube Red.
It was their pay service, their paywall. And I got to be honest, I saw like the trailers. I thought, oh, this is kind of cool, nostalgic. But I didn't put a lot of stock into it. It came out in 2018. I really didn't put a whole lot behind it. I thought, it's the Karate Kid. I mean, what the hell are they going to do?
Right. You know, I was thinking that it would be kind of like what Quibi is now. You know, little 10-minute episodes.
Yeah.
And it would just be like, you know, oh, look, here's a karate match. Oh, look, here's them bantering back and forth. That would be quippy and maybe kind of funny. But no,
it's fucking excellent.
It's amazing.
I mean, I'm completely, completely blown away to the point where I don't want to go into a deep dive about the episodes. I want to tell everybody, go watch this.
Yeah. I was playing with my D&D group on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Ivy, one of the players... We had like this little timeout period where a couple of people were off talking. She goes, just so you know, thanks for letting me know. I burned through the first season of Cobra Kai already. And I was like, I'm only 2 episodes in. Please don't spoil it for me.
Yep.
I just got a text from our buddy Petrie.
Yeah.
When I got here that him and Rebecca are almost through the first season.
Yeah.
They never watch anything anymore. Like, they have a hard time watching anything. And he's like, we're almost through the first season. This is phenomenal.
Like, honestly, like, the writing is phenomenal.
It is.
The storytelling is phenomenal. The acting is really good. Like,
broad strokes. We're not going to deep dive.
I cannot believe just how good this is. And this isn't like I had low expectations, so it was right. Better than... No. This is like, holy shit, this is amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
So the broad strokes version is, it's the same Johnny and the same Daniel.
Yeah.
Okay, Ralph Macchio and William Zabka.
Yeah.
And I only know his name because of How I Met Your Mother.
Fair enough.
So, because he's the real Karate Kid.
Exactly.
So it's the two of them, and it's what, 40 years later?
It's... No, the
35 years later,
84 to 2018. So 34 years later or whatever. Yeah.
So they're both middle aged. Daniel's doing well for himself.
He owns a bunch of car dealerships.
Yep. And, Johnny is completely stuck in the '80s. He's a handyman for hire. Kinda.
He's just
odd jobs, cleaning out gutters, doing electrical work, mounting TVs.
The first episode is basically all about where Johnny is in life.
Yep.
And it's almost like he blames Daniel LaRusso for where he is, yep. Kinda.
Well, we get some really cool flashbacks that actually use clips from the movie.
They incorporate clips from the first and second Karate Kid in this, mm-hmm. and they've timed it together beautifully. And yeah, there's a few puns along the way, like when someone's washing a window and they ask Johnny, like, how do you want me to wash? He goes, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
As opposed to the wax on, wax off.
Exactly.
But it's not... just puns and callbacks and clever quips. I mean, it's really good. And then we get to see Daniel kind of near the end of the first episode.
Yep.
And then the second episode, we kind of get his story on where he's at.
Yep. With still some Johnny thrown in there.
Yeah. And, you know, of course, Johnny sees Daniel's life and thinks that his life is absolutely fucking amazing and he has everything. And, of course, you see it from Daniel's point of view that lifestyle is great as it looks for me. But, yeah, that's kind of my broad strokes on it.
I will say this. It challenges the notion of who's the hero and who's the villain.
It does, yeah.
Which, a few years back, that guy put out that thing on the internet that was kind of backing up what Barney said, which is that, you know, William Zabka was actually the victim, not Daniel LaRusso.
Right.
And he made some really compelling arguments.
Yep.
And Johnny even backs up one of those in this show.
Sure.
You know, he says, you moved in on my girl.
Yeah.
And Daniel's like, well, she kind of wasn't your girl anymore, was she? Well, yeah, she was.
Yeah. So, and then also the karate tournament where he's like, yeah, you won with a legal kick. But, you know, it counted your point.
Yeah.
And you got the win.
Yeah.
But it was an illegal kick.
And we're all kind of like, yeah, you're not supposed to strike to the face.
Yeah.
So it was really, really well done. But again, it challenges your notion. Who's the hero? Who's the villain in the story? You know? We were always taught growing up that Daniel was the hero, the underdog.
He was the bully that got picked on. And he did.
Yeah.
He did. Yep. Undoubtedly.
I love it. I love this show. They're half hour
episodes. I really do. I can't believe how much I love it.
If you watch The Karate Kid growing up, you really owe it to yourself to watch this show.
I honestly want to go back and watch The Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Again. Just because.
Yep.
But no, it's just, yeah, it does. It really does challenge your notion of who the good guy and who the bad guy is. And like you said it perfectly, I love the 80s references, though. I love the 80s music that's playing throughout it.
It's Firebird.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I just...
Oh, I was rocking out to the music, dude.
Yeah.
And then when he told the kid, he's like, you know, what the hell is that? Put on some Guns N' Roses. What's Guns N' Roses? Oh, what a cover.
I'll just pretend I didn't hear you say that.
Yeah.
No, it's...
Get rid of this exposed wire.
Yeah, exactly. That'll take you some time. Be careful. But yeah, no, it's...
This story mirrors the original Karate Kid in certain ways, but it's different as well. And I can't wait to see more of it. Honestly, even if you didn't watch the movies growing up, this is a great show.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm excited for season 3. So apparently season 3 was supposed to originally air on YouTube this season.
Yep.
But if they dropped it or canceled it or decided not to, or I think they got rid of their YouTube paywall that they had.
I think that's what it was.
Because it was kind of a failure. So I'm glad Netflix picked it up. I hope we get a fourth season on Netflix.
I would love that. I think that it'll depend on the ratings, which already, like I said, I've got people messaging me that
it is never watched certified TV. Fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And which is amazing.
People are loving it.
So yeah.
Yeah. I hope that they do get more.
I do like that, like, Johnny has an old-ass TV. I have to talk about this.
He has old-ass everything.
He has an old, like, 4:3, you know, picture TV.
Yep.
And
he watches Iron Eagle.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you would think there's a part of the movie that happens where you think, oh, this is what's going to motivate Johnny to open the Cobra Kai dojo again. Because the trailer shows us he does.
Yeah.
But that doesn't do it. The
show's called Cobra Kai.
Right, and that doesn't do it. What does it is he's watching Iron Eagle, and when Louis Gossett Jr.'s character, Chappie, dies, quote fingers, go watch the movie, his buddy there, his partner, the son of his partner, plays the audio recording, the audio tape that Chappie had recorded for him, where he's like, well, if you listen to this, obviously something went wrong. And basically Chappie delivers this emotional, heartfelt speech, you know, designed to motivate this kid to do what he needs to do in the movie Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
And here we are in the real world, quote unquote, and there's Johnny tearing up over it. And this is what motivates him to get his head out of his ass. And
for the most part,
yeah,
it's about 90% there.
Right, yeah.
Because then as the speech is ending.
Yes. Yeah.
Something else happens.
And, so it's, yeah. I don't know. There's just so much I love about the show. I wanted to burn through it so badly.
I wanted to keep going, but I held off because we have a responsibility to our listeners.
You know what? Let's just real quick talk about Transformers. I watched it.
Dude.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, this show is great. It's another one of those that I had low expectations, and I really liked it. I was a little bit put off by the fact that we meet Sound Blaster, who is just a palette-swapped Soundwave, and sounds like him, and even talks about, you know, did you think that Soundwave was the only one who had ears in the sky?
Right.
I thought we were going to get Blaster.
Me too. I thought we were going to get Blaster as well.
And we did not. We got the Kmart version of Soundwave.
The GoBots version of Soundwave. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because people love the GoBots.
But yeah, basically, they need Energon. They need a lot of Energon to power up the space bridge. We've got, one episode left of this season?
Yes, I believe so. Same thing with Muppets Now.
Yeah.
Final episode of the season is this coming Friday.
So they need a lot of Energon to power up the arc. But everything has to happen at once. They have to grab the Allspark, which is in the Rust Sea of Rust.
Yeah.
And only the Decepticons have mapped it. Jetfire knows how to get him through there, but they don't trust him. So he's like, hey, Prowl, you worked as a guard. You can do this to me. And they're all like, what's he talking about? And he's like, it's kind of a remote bomb in his head. We used to use it on prisoners. It's the last resort. They're all like, dude, that's fucked up. He's like, well, he offered. So,
yeah.
So, and of course he redeems himself by saving Prowl, but
right.
Yeah. So they have to get the Allspark. They have to fix and get ready to power up the space bridge. And they have to have the energy on for the space bridge all at the same time and get the arc over there. Because any one of those things happening by itself is going to draw the Decepticons. And so of course it's very tense. But yeah, Bumblebee takes them to Sound Blaster's place so that they can trade for some Energon and, you know, they plan a heist. We'll get down to the vault to drop off our little Energon cubes and we'll steal all of his pure Energon and it starts to work except, oh no, they get dropped on by the big guys.
Of course they do.
Just like over at the space bridge, Mirage expends all of his power making an illusion around it so that they can't see that it's kind of powered up.
Yeah.
But then he starts to fail and they turn around, you know, the Seekers come back. The Allspark is there. They've got to get down there, but they don't know if they're going to make it in time because it moves around. That's why nobody's been able to find it. And it moves to all these uninhabitable places. And,
yeah. We're building to a pretty big finale.
Yeah.
Is what it comes down to.
One of the big things in this too was that Shockwave, not to be confused with Soundwave, right. Shockwave, who apparently is a mad scientist in this one.
It's kind of how I gathered it.
He's kind of Kefka from Final Fantasy VI.
Sure.
He basically has a virus. He wants to destroy the Alpha Trion protocols. They don't know what they're specifically called, but they know there's code that sought out another robot and that it's out there and they want it gone. And since it's Autobot based, he has a virus that'll destroy all Autobot based systems. Soundwave's like, dude, Megatron, we use some Autobot-based systems. Like, some of our computers are based on the Autobot stuff.
Right.
You'll be destroying our stuff, too. And Megatron's like, nah, fuck it, do it. So Shockwave starts a virus, and it's wiping out Autobot systems. And he's like, don't worry, it's going to wipe out that stuff, too. It hasn't so far. I mean, I would think that it would have to get to Bumblebee somehow.
You would think.
Maybe they think that it's in a computer, but it's actually in Bumblebee.
Maybe.
So it's wiping out stuff left, right, and center. So there, yeah, there's a lot culminating, and we're going to get one episode. Granted, this is a trilogy, so...
Sure, yeah, but still, they got a lot... I mean, I feel like there's got to be some... I know there's going to be a cliffhanger, but...
Well, yeah, we saw him briefly, and then he cut out.
But at the same time, I know we're not going to... They're not going to... They're going to resolve this part of the story, so the right. next time we're starting a new part type of thing.
Yep.
So... You know, Muppets. Let's just talk about Muppets.
Yeah.
The IT Factor.
Yeah.
This wasn't
one of the best episodes.
No, it wasn't, but it was still good. I'm still questioning why. This is the, okay, the original Muppet show, five seasons, fucking amazing show.
Yep.
Loved it. Everyone loved it.
Yep.
They've done two Muppet series since then, Muppets Tonight and then The Muppets. Neither one of them. Muppets Tonight got two seasons only because the second season was on Disney. Weak sauce on both accounts. Muppets, yeah. You know, that was okay. I liked it because I got some new Muppets. But at the same time, why in all these years, in the last 40 years, have they not tried to redo the Muppet show again? Why haven't they used that formula?
Yeah, just the basic backstage, you know, curtains opening, musical numbers, musical guests. It was basically Muppets was a Saturday Night Live with puppets.
Yes.
And why can't they do that again?
This is the closest we've come, you know, but instead of being at the Muppet
Theater.
The Muppet Theater, we're at Muppet Studios, essentially. You know, we're seeing kind of like the COVID version of what they would do with the, you know, everything going on.
And people will probably say, you know, well, today's kids wouldn't understand the theater. And yes, they would.
Yes,
they would. They've seen Hamilton.
Right.
They understand.
Yeah, that's true. You know, we have, you know, the pig style with Miss Piggy. We have
Pepe's gross foods.
Oh, it is. We have Pepe's unbelievable game show. We have a Muppet Lab field test. We have Muppet Masters. So we have those skits. You know, we do get an appearance by the Swedish Chef, but we don't have his show.
Right. He's just part of Pepe's unbelievable game show, which is awesome.
Yeah. I do enjoy Pepe's unbelievable game show.
With the goat and the screaming.
But at the same time, not to be critical of these five episodes we've been getting, they do a lot of the same skits.
Yes.
Every single week. And
like every week we've had Lifestyle.
Yeah, and we've had
Bunsen and Beaker, you know, Muppet Labs.
And we've had the Swedish Chef most of the episodes with Cooking Show.
Yep.
Or we've had Pepe's Unbelievable Game Show a lot.
Where's the Pigs in Space?
Where's the ballroom dancing ones?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, why aren't we getting more skits?
We haven't gotten much Gonzo at all.
We've barely seen him. Yeah. He was in the first episode.
As like a bit player to the RuPaul story.
Right, to the interview segment that Kermit was doing. I'm just surprised we're not seeing more of a variety of skits.
That was the key word. Muppets was a variety show.
That's it, yeah. And we're not seeing that as much. I mean, I enjoyed this week's episode. We have
the weakest one for me.
But. We have the wraparounds or the bumpers of each one of the IT people doing an update.
And the update was just to put filters in, which is so 2020.
Absolutely. Yep.
I liked on Lifestyle how the different guests had different things, like, you know, what was her name there? Beverly Plume was there from the Swedish Chef show, but she was having technical issues, so she was constantly like grainy and.
And when she finally got her toes to work, the show, they were done.
I love that one of them was just a rabbit. His name was Some Bunny.
Yep.
He's just Some Bunny. Yep. And he's just like eating a carrot. And he's like, yeah, whatever. He just like wandered in or something. And Fufu the dog. I enjoyed watching Piggy like struggle with Fufu barking all the time. And then Linda Cardellini's like, oh, look, I taught her this. Or I taught him this.
Use your inside voice.
Yeah.
Bark, bark, bark. Use your outside voice. Bark, 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 bark. How did you do that? Yeah. No. And Piggy's going to Paris, Texas, not Paris, France. She's trying to lead us to believe. And no, like I said, I enjoyed it. You're right. It probably was the weakest one. But have we had Taye Diggs and Linda Cardellini in every single episode? Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah.
So we have one more episode. It's called Socialized. I don't know if it's been renewed for a second season. I hope it has. Just because I am enjoying it.
Yes.
But, yeah.
We're supposed to be getting a season 2 trailer for The Mandalorian soon, by the way.
Ooh, nice.
Now, in keeping with the theme of half-hour funny shows.
Let's do it.
We forgot to talk about one last week. So,
oh,
tell us about Hoops.
Okay, Hoops. was it Jake Johnson?
Yep.
Plays a basketball coach to a basketball team of everyone that's like 5'5". He gets one kid on the team who's 7 foot eventually. Here's the thing. I don't care for it.
I don't either. Okay. Yeah. I was waiting for you.
I really don't want to go into a deep dive. And I watched the first episode and I was like, I want to like it because I like Jake Johnson.
And I love what's his name there?
Yeah. Ron Funches.
Yes. Thank you.
The show has such potential to be great, but it's too stupid.
It's too stupid. He's a little too stupid. Like, yeah. He's
too over the top stupid.
Like Michael Scott from The Office at his worst.
Yes. You know? Yes.
He's like ignorant. He's not even just stupid. He's ignorant.
Yeah.
Because he keeps saying, like, you know, you're fucking my wife. And he's like, she broke up with you. He's like, well, I haven't signed the divorce papers yet, so we're still married.
So, but I mean, I let you fuck my wife. What else do you want?
Oh, you're so good to me.
Like, I just, yeah, I don't. I want to like it.
Okay. See, I watched the first episode and I had the same response. I was like, oh. And then last week you sent me that message. You're like, we forgot to talk about hoops. And I'm like,
that's a lot more excitement than my message. The message is, hey, we forgot to talk about hoops.
That's the hard part about text is, you know.
Fair enough. No inflection. Unless I put it all capitalized letters.
but yeah. So good. We're on the same page.
Yeah. I don't even think I'm going to.
It's not that it's bad. It's just, yeah, I'm probably not going to watch anymore.
No, I already took it out of my list and removed it from my queue and everything. Good. So
good.
I guess while we're on the comedy side of things, Bit Players. I think
Becky's.
The Becky's episode. I think they rebounded from Dad's.
I love this episode.
I thought this episode was absolutely fantastic. Because it was realistic. As far as like when they go out on their date and Ahmed's trying to pretend to be Indian and his Becky.
Just because she was talking about yoga. And yes. So he's like, oh, I'm Indian then.
And she even says, like, namaste to him.
Yep.
And she makes the comment about, you know, like, are you really Indian? And you see the dial, like, his brain, like, no, I'm Pakistani. Lie, deny. You know, and then he goes around and finally he settles on, of course I am. And he just refuses to admit the truth of the whole episode.
I love seeing those little dials at the bottom because that was straight out of EA's games and the Mass Effect games, the Star Wars games. It's the
choice really?
Wheel where you get to pick your responses.
Yep.
Like usually in those games, there'll be like a blue one, which means the good choice, a red one, which means the evil choice. And then, you know, oh dude, it was so funny watching that. I love it. That really hit home for me. That's how I've been trying to sell this show to a buddy of mine who plays games with me a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm selling him on stuff like that. I'm like, it's got a video game aesthetic. And he's like, oh, so they're little 8-bit guys. I'm like, no, these are real life people. But, you know, you get like the splash screens in the beginning or you get sound effects or like in this case, I was like, dude, the choices, it's right out of Mass Effect. And he's like, oh, cool. I can get behind that. So, yeah. Oh, Mike's having a little heartburn.
No, this is you talk while I deal with this heartburn.
No, usually when you point at me, it's like, yes, I've got to make a point about
this. No, please talk.
So, yeah, I really, really dug the aesthetic of this one. I love the fact that it was called Becky's because they're both Becky's. One's a Becky and one's a Rebecca.
Yeah.
And, you know, Becky tends to be a derogatory term for women.
It's like Karen.
Yeah, except for Karen is more like
sure
self-absorbed,
right?
Ignorant, and Becky's are just like, you know, oh my god, they're kind of dumb and they're kind of selfish and you know, but they actually didn't turn out that way at all. They were very understanding about the fact that Ahmed kept taking them off to the bathroom.
Well, okay, let's start with so Ahmed wants Leon to go on a double date with him because the girl, Rebecca, or Bex, doesn't matter. One of the Beckys, Ahmed bought pot off of one
Bex.
Time.
Yeah. Bex was the pot deal.
He bought pot off for one time, and Bex has a friend who likes yoga.
Who's Rebecca.
So Ahmed wants to date his pot dealer's friend, but he wants Leon to go on a date with his pot dealer that he bought pot off one time.
Yeah.
So he'll go out with his friend. And so Leon, when he's putting this all together, he's like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I like when Leon, because you're right, Ahmed keeps grabbing Leon to haul him off to the bathroom because his lies aren't working.
Right.
You know, because, you know.
And the girls are so cool about it. Like, yes. The third time that it happens, Rebecca looks at Bex and she's like, you know, I had a UTI once. It's really painful. I really hope that he gets this fixed up quickly. Like, she's buying into the whole thing.
But, like, she speaks. She just went on a retreat to India for, like, yoga for like 3 weeks or 3 months. She speaks Hindi. She orders in Hindi. She knows about the regions, and she keeps catching Ahmed in lies and doesn't call it on him until the end.
Right.
And even when she calls him on him, she's so cool about it as far as like, look, maybe you just should have told the truth from the beginning and we could see what happened, because I would have liked you for you. I wouldn't have liked you just because you were Indian.
Right.
Leon, on the other hand, with his girl date, you know, like basically he keeps getting, she orders a rum and Coke. So he's like, red flag.
Right.
And then she's got hot sauce in her purse, like red flag. So he's basically thinks that she's just into him because he's black.
She's trying to appropriate culture. And she's like, you know, this is, I want to show that I'm black supporting and I like black guys. He, unlike Ahmed, he actually just comes right out and says it. He's like, do you only like me because I'm black? And she's like, what?
Yeah.
And he throws all that stuff. He's like, you know, you did this, this, this. She goes, okay, I like hot stuff and I like a rum and Coke. I've never dated a black guy.
Yep.
This is the first time.
I think also at one point he makes a comment like, if she starts talking about Get Out, I'm getting the fuck out. And she brings up, have you seen Get Out? We got to go to the bathroom. And she's like, I just really like that movie. And then I like at the end when she's like, well, God, does this mean I can't carry hot sauce in my purse anymore?
Right.
Like, she doesn't want to do the wrong thing, you know.
But he actually ends up, because he's honest and just comes right out, and she's like, no, this is a mistake. They actually hit it off.
They hit it off really well.
Whereas Rebecca tells Ahmed, you know, this isn't going to work. Maybe next time you should try just telling the truth.
Well, I like when Ahmed's like, all right, I mean, when Ahmed decides he is going to be honest and he's heading back to the table and the guy, oh, hey, hold on. The other customer stops him because there's something wrong with his order.
They found a hair in his wife's food.
And we think it's a pubic hair. And he's like, wait a second. I don't work here. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you think I'm Indian? And the guy's like, yeah. And he's like, thank you.
And then he's like singing and leading them all in a chant. And
he's dancing on the table and just going over the top.
But you're right. He finally decides to come clean to Rebecca and doesn't.
Right.
So later on when she's calling him on it, she's like, so, you know, why did you lie? And all the answers on the wheel are sex.
Yeah. She's like, did you think it's because you're going to get sex?
No.
It was and then Leon's like, maybe it's a little too soon, but do you want to come back and watch Lord of the Rings and listen to the alternate, you know, actor commentary? She's like, of course I do.
Well, no, she's like, that's usually second date material, but you know what? I'm digging you so much. Yeah. And then Ahmed's like, no, we're leaving.
Yeah. Sorry. It didn't work out. We got to go. And Leon's like, So I wonder if we're going to see her again.
Yeah. Which this was interesting because we had pointed out in the first episode, they kept calling each other like my love.
Yes.
And they did it a lot in Dad's.
Yeah.
You know, they had that whole scene in the beginning with the cooking of the food where he's like, my love. My love, oh yes, my love, how my love, but now they're out dating. So is that just a term of endearment? You know, kind of like how me and Petrie hug each other way too hard when we hang out?
Sure, probably.
Yeah.
We have 3 episodes left.
Yep.
Comic-Con, D&D, and Final Fight. I'm just excited about all 3 of them.
Can't wait for these because
I'm excited about all of them.
Yeah, I'm really digging this show.
I mean, if I were to pick a weak episode so far, I'd have to go Dad's.
Yep. Yeah.
I still enjoyed it.
Yes.
But again, you know, when you're putting out any type of original material, whether it be 26 episodes or 10 episodes or 8 episodes, they're not all going to be gold.
Right.
Same thing with the Muppets.
Yeah.
You know, we both kind of agree episode 5 was kind of the weakest sauce one so far.
Yeah. Doesn't make it bad. Just means that, you know, there's always going to be a bronze medal.
You know, I don't feel like bringing it back up right now. I just want to keep going about – I want to talk about Dead Pixels. I really wish I could find the unedited version.
I agree. Because
it's bleeped out so much. I'm not saying it takes away from it. Right. But, yeah.
It's insane how much I feel like we're missing. And I know it's just swears. I know it's just cussing.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that it's bleeped out. It reminds you that – somebody thought this was too much for your delicate ears.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Because even like Distractify wrote an article about it last week I was reading where they go, they played the edited clip from the CW and then they played the original clip. And the bleeping takes away from it.
It does. It
takes away from the humor of it.
Yeah.
Because I got to say, this show is fucking hilarious.
It is.
It's absolutely fucking hilarious.
But the bleeps feel like speed bumps, basically.
Yes, exactly.
You know? You're driving along, you're enjoying yourself, and then it's like, whoa, you got to slow down.
Yeah.
Doop, 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 doop. It kind of shocks you back to me.
It's not like I need to hear her talking about what she wants some guy to do to her vagina.
Right.
But it does kill the momentum and the flow of what they're saying. I just assumed they just muted what they were saying.
Right.
But instead, they actually go so as far as to not only bleep it, but to pixelate the mouth.
Yeah. Which, if it was for the aesthetic, like if that was the original version and they did that because they were trying to do a video game thing, I could get behind it.
It's just, it seems weird CW would choose to pick up the show and air it, knowing how heavily they had to edit it and how much it's taking away from just the flow of the show.
Well, don't forget the CW is also going to be airing all episodes of Swamp Thing, which, granted, is not a hard R, but it would be like saying the CW is going to be playing Doom Patrol. Right. You've seen enough of that to know that there are F-bombs everywhere.
I watched the whole first season of Doom Patrol, so But I really enjoyed this episode.
Yes.
I thought it was fantastic.
I'm gonna steer us off for a second.
Sure, go right ahead.
Because I feel like this is the one segment that I do every week that you're kind of a part of, but not really.
Okay.
And that is my pitch to you for HBO Max.
Oh, okay, sure.
And this week, it made me sad because I was lining things up in my queue. And I'm actually caught up on this season of Doom Patrol. Apparently they're putting out one a week and I'm caught up and it sucks because the one that I just did was a cliffhanger and I'm like, I need to see the next episode and there's no next episode yet. Okay. Well, what's really frustrating and I've got to learn to get over this, but I just want you to know where my mind is at is that I'm lining up shows like Lovecraft County that has three episodes out now. One that I just told you about the other day called The Vow, which is I think it's a 6-part documentary about the Nexium cult. You know, the one that Kristen Kruick and... I watched the first episode of that. It's great. It's creepy because the whole first episode, it sounds good. Like, this is actually a positive program. They had people in there who were doing better things for the world. You know, they were empowering women. They were empowering this. You know that the creepy stuff's coming. They actually put up the news articles in the beginning. So you know it's coming. But you get to see all the good stuff in the beginning. So I've got that. I've got Lovecraft County. I've got Doom Patrol. I've got what was some of the other ones? The Harley Quinn show.
How about Room 104?
Room 104. I have not watched the most recent one. I haven't watched any of Lovecraft County yet because these are all shows that I can watch them and then come here and say, they're really good. You should watch them next. Because I don't want to spoil it. It's kind of like Lower Decks. I haven't watched anything since the first episode.
Yeah.
Because you're not watching it. And I don't want to spoil it for you. I don't want to spoil it for the other people.
I've heard some negativity.
I've heard some positivity. The trailer for The Stand just came out today that I shared with you, which is going to be on CBS All Access in December.
That's CBS All Access. A little different.
Yeah. But... So I've got a number of shows that I'm like either holding off on or don't feel right watching because I want to be able to share them with you. And again, it's something that I have to get over, but I'm still going to make the impassioned pleas about HBO Max because there's some great stuff on there. And I think you'd enjoy it. But anyway, so The Vow.
Here's the thing real quick.
Yeah.
So HBO Max on Hulu. You don't get all of the HBO Max material.
What do you mean?
So, like, for instance, and I brought this up so I could read it to you.
Sure, yeah.
You get hits like Game of Thrones, Westworld, Last Week Tonight, and movies like Joker, Crazy Rich Asians. You also get access to classic TV shows like Friends and The Big Bang Theory.
Yep. Plus, well, that was the other thing that I was going to tell you is all of Friends
plus,
is on there.
Plus new Max originals like Love Life.
Which is great.
And HBO content is available on Hulu. However, additional content is only available on HBO Max app. So I don't get the HBO Max app on my Roku TV. They don't make one for it.
That's right.
And I don't think they make one for the Kindle Fire either, because I have a Fire Stick. They don't make one for that.
So now I'm going to be spending $15 a month.
And
I'm
watch not it even, on your laptop?
And I'm not going to get all of what I can get out of it.
See, that doesn't seem right. Like, before you would even do that, I would check in to see what you can get. Like, if you can't get things like Lovecraft County and Doom Patrol and stuff, why would you bother?
Right.
Like, that's not even worth it at that point.
So I wanted to point that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I haven't gone into the meat and potatoes of it all and seen, like, okay, what exactly can I only get
right
on the app? But
and I'm going to look at this as well and see what the workaround is for Roku's.
It does show Lovecraft County or Country is available with the HBO Max add-on.
Hmm. Okay, so we're going to table this discussion because I think that this bears some looking into. I'm wondering what isn't available, and I'm wondering what the workaround is for Roku with HBO Max. Maybe somebody out there will just pop in, but we can do some research on this as well. But yeah, it's just, it's been a while since I've, like, Netflix right now is phenomenal. And I know that it's the pandemic, so a lot of things haven't been coming back. Netflix has been churning out some pretty good stuff overall.
Yes, they have.
But for the most part, Netflix is a great value. Like, every day I'm reminded of what a good value it is. HBO Max is reminding me that as well because of the number of shows that I've been watching. Like, you're right. CBS All Access is for spur-of-the-moment things.
Yeah.
You know, Discovery when it's all out. I can't see subscribing to CBS All Access just for Lower Decks right now.
No.
You know, or just for The Stand, or just for Discovery.
No, I'm probably now going to wait until January when you just watch Lower Decks if you want to. Because I'm probably going to wait until January now.
I've got so many other shows.
For when The Stand is all out to get my CBS All Access again.
And then binge The Stand and Discovery.
And probably the next season of Picard.
Yep.
Oh. I feel like a sneeze coming on.
Okay. But yeah, HBO Max just keeps adding more stuff that I'm really liking. I think you would like The Vow. It's because you like a good documentary.
I do.
And we both knew about this going on with.
Right.
Like, they introduced with Allison Mack.
Yes.
They introduced her in this episode. They had a brief thing on Kristen. And they, like, they've got actual footage, you know, from some of the meetings and stuff where they were introduced. And they showed Allison. And they showed a lot of her. They were like, she was the life of the party. She was amazing. She started these programs for women and these programs for women. And, you know, it was wonderful.
And she started branding girls with her initials.
Yeah. Yeah. I cannot wait to see how.
I'm looking to see how it starts going downhill.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my HBO Max pitch for the week. We now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Warrior Nun.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to not watching this show anymore.
I kind of am, too. I mean, I feel like we've gotten this far into it, but...
What episode did we just watch?
We watched the one where she basically... They find out that there's some room that they have to get into that's buried beneath the Vatican, and it's 20 feet
of stone, and so she's training for that. But what episode number was it?
I don't remember.
Fuck, either do I.
But basically, yeah, at the end of it, she discovers that she can melt divinium in her hand, and she's decided that she's going to be the last warrior nun.
Yeah, she's going to, yeah. She's going to get in there.
For season two.
I don't know. I'm just, like, Curse was easy for me to drop. This, there's enough interesting in it that makes me want to continue watching it.
You're over the halfway mark, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out now.
I want to say we did like 5 or 6.
Oh, shit. We just? Oh, we just watched episode 8. There's only 2 left.
Okay.
We got to stick with it.
We're almost there.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to stick with it. We'll at least finish the season because I didn't realize we were so far in.
I will say this. Lucifer's back. I started watching it. It's great. I'm glad that they stuck around. I only watched half of this week's episode of Unwell because it's about breast milk. And I got about halfway through before I was like, nope, I got to turn it off. Because it was mostly about people seeking out breast milk, you know.
There's a market for it.
It's like a protein supplement. Or women who produce way too much, so they're freezing it and selling it.
Yep.
You know, you get the people who are like, yeah, it's got all these nutrients and it's mother's milk. And it's the
natural.
Best.
We should be having this, not cow's milk. We don't come from cows.
Yeah. Fuck that. Speaking of, no.
Speaking of what?
Well, I was having this discussion the other night because I had an odd thought. So think about this. On your body, you've got skin that covers your entire body.
Sure.
Okay. Your skin repairs itself. Sure. If you get cut or something.
You heal.
You heal.
But you get a scar. And yeah. Sometimes you can't see the scar tissue, but it's there.
Yeah. But the skin doesn't just go, oh, we're fucking gone.
Right.
It'll regrow itself.
Sure.
Your hair, if you cut it, it regrows. Fingernails, toenails.
Yeah.
Eyelashes, eyebrows, beards. Jesus yeah. Christ, beards you can't stop. So, and then you've got things like your ears where, you know, wax gets in there, but then it kind of falls out. You could take it out, but it falls out sure. because the body takes care of that. Same thing with your nose. You can pick your boogers, but, you know, yep. it comes out. Pretty much every system on your body is self-maintaining, except one, and that's your fucking teeth.
Yeah.
We're born without teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And we suck on nipples, and sure. we get our nutrients from that.
Our teeth grow.
And then our teeth grow in the most painful way possible.
Sure.
Because babies scream, because it's fucking painful.
It's called teething, and it sucks.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at a person's head,
mm-hmm.
you know, the teeth are all individual pieces. They're not like the skull, which is, yeah, there's one probably solid. Like eight different things. Sure. But it's one solid, you know, each tooth is in it for itself.
Yeah.
And then your teeth fall out.
Sure. You lose your baby teeth, grow adult
and
teeth.
And then they grow adult teeth. Your teeth are the one system in your body that you constantly have to maintain, because if you don't, they will rot out of your head.
Yeah.
You will lose this body part unless you meticulously maintain it all the time.
Sure.
It's fucked up. Doesn't that seem like a defect?
No, I never thought about that, but yeah, it is.
It seems like a defective part of your body. Like, everything else regrows.
If it's a stigma, like if you lose a finger by accident, you're like, oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. But that won't grow back.
No, granted. It won't grow back, but I'm just saying, oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
But you move on with life and you continue growing.
Yeah.
If you lose it, but no one's going to ridicule you for missing a finger.
Hmm.
Because, like, oh, that's
maybe,
obviously...
But it'd be, but, like, close friends.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, a stranger is not going to judge you because you're missing a finger. They're going right. to be like, oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But if you're missing teeth, they're like, what the fuck's wrong with them?
Yeah. They can't take care of themselves.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
It's a very weird... It's just one of those weird thoughts that dawned on me. So then I was thinking breast milk and how babies, you know, don't have teeth. And just... It's a weird thing. Mm. It's the one part of your body that's constantly falling. Even your eyeballs. One of the most vital... parts of your body, one of the most sensitive parts of your body, is protected by eyelashes, by water. I mean, the eyeballs maintain themselves. You don't have to sit there and, like, scrub them every day to make sure that they stay clean.
True.
You have to maintain your glasses more than you have to maintain your eyeballs.
Oh, tremendous. Yes.
Yet your teeth, you miss one flossing and your dentist's like, you're fucked.
You're also a piece of shit.
Yeah. Anyway, that's John's philosophy corner.
That works. Umbrella Academy, anyone?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I'm still liking it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's pretty awesome.
We got to see Pogo's origin story, which was great because it was also set to awesome music.
Yes, it was.
Ground Control to Major Tom.
Which makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was great because he was basically just a space chimp. You know, he was taught basics. Sign language, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Reginald was kind of overseeing the whole thing. He was launched into space. Something went wrong. He crashed down. He had burns over most of his body. They couldn't resuscitate him. Reginald pulled out a syringe, stabbed him in the chest. And not only did he come back, but all of his burns healed very quickly. Like, as we watched, and he became smart,
yes.
as we all know. Five doesn't trust Lila.
Nope.
Big surprise.
Nope, not at all.
And she uses that to her advantage later on in the dumbest way possible. I mean, like, that was a Looney Tunes chase.
Yes.
Like, her running down the, she's running down the road like,
yeah.
Don't catch me. And he's like, right. I'll sneak up on her. Again, Looney Tunes-esque.
Yeah, they have a big chase scene. They have a big fight scene in the warehouse. He gets the upper hand. And he goes,
or in this case, foot, because he's got his foot on her throat.
He's like, you can come out now. And the handler comes out.
Yeah.
And they have their little, like, discussion.
Yeah.
Which nothing is accomplished other than, you know, they discuss.
Yeah. They banter. But this was the time to get the family back together moment.
Yeah.
You know, let's get everybody together. We know where all the kids are, so let's round them up. and they do. And at first it's like, oh, I love you, you love me, we're all family. And then it starts going downhill when Luther says, I don't fucking care about the end of the world.
Well, and the main reason why is because we get the story of Luther saying when he first got there, he took a bus, went to New York City, went to the house, went to see Dad, confronted him, told him, hey, you're going to adopt 7 kids and da-da-da-da-da. And Reginald's just like, I hate kids. I would never do that. Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah. And I certainly wouldn't have one who looks like a fucking gorilla.
Yeah.
Which was ironic. And, right. And smells like you do and has obviously no class and no manners. Get out. So, yeah, he basically is like, I don't care. Diego is still absolutely obsessed with the fact that JFK is at the core of all this. It has something to do with the assassination of Kennedy. Dad's going to assassinate him. Five's like, Dad's involved. We don't know if he's going to assassinate him.
But Five also finally tells him that the other, you know, like he saw them all fighting.
Mm-hmm.
He saw the Russians invade. He saw nuclear weapons exploding and killing all of you.
Yep.
So he does say that. Lila and the handler, they get one of Diego's knives.
This was hilarious.
They send a message to the Swedish trio.
Because she gets Lila to go up on the roof and drop the tube. She makes a fake pneumatic tube and drops it in the fireplace to the Swedes.
And there's coordinates and a picture. They show up at the coordinates and they see Diego's knife, which then kills one of them because he triggers a bomb.
Yep, landmine sitting right under the ground. All that's left is one leg.
Yeah.
Part of one leg.
Diego and Luther get invited to have a light supper with Reginald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To my pursuers.
Yeah.
Please join me for a light supper. And it's like, this has got to be a trap, but they're going to go.
Allison, Klaus, and Vanya all decide, well, if these guys are being serious, let's all go get drunk. And so they have a little dancing montage.
Yes.
Similar to the I Think We're Alone Now one in the first episode.
Absolutely was.
Yep. And but this one's in like a laundromat.
Yeah.
Or a hair salon.
No, it's in Allison's hair salon.
That's right.
So.
And so then they all decide, well, let's go do our thing. So Klaus goes back to his cult.
Says, Daddy's home.
Yep. Allison goes back to Ray and says, I'm going to tell you everything.
And Vanya goes back to the Coopers.
And basically, because in the beginning of the episode, Vanya and Sissy were in bed together.
Yep.
And they had a great night together and they were going to have a great day together. And then Daddy shows up.
Yeah.
And Sissy immediately
goes. Carl comes home early.
Yep. Sissy immediately goes right back into, he's my husband. He's the breadwinner.
Yep.
You know, we were just laughing. You know, we can't really get away.
Yeah. Basically, she says like, oh, come on. She said, that's just pillow talk, baby.
Yeah.
You know, when they're talking about their future.
I heard his voice when she said that.
Yeah.
She's like, that was early morning talk. I'm like, it's pillow talk, baby.
Yeah, that's pillow talk, baby. But, you know, Vanya finds out that Sissy fucked Carl, which is her husband.
Yep.
And she's like, well, that's my husband. That's what he wanted to do. I'm still his wife.
Yep. And he's such a slimeball. Like,
hasn't been a slimeball until now.
Right. He comes down, and he's in his tighty-whities, and he's like, oh, you saw me buck naked. I hope there's another beer in there. And he goes over and grabs a beer and slaps Sissy on the ass and goes, don't you be leaving me up here too long.
Well, he says it was bound to happen sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and basically, but it's funny because he has been respectful up until this point.
Really? Yeah. This was the guy who said that he had business out of town and then got drunk at the strip club?
No.
In like the first episode?
To Vanya. To their faces.
Okay.
Not to their faces, to Vanya and Sissy in person, he has been the whole time.
Gotcha.
You know, but because to me, when I first saw him, I thought, I'm surprised he hasn't tried to fuck Vanya yet.
Right.
Does she remember she's a lesbian?
Right.
Who knows? You know what I mean? She may not have.
I'm wondering if now she's going to try to break them up by seducing him.
Well, she leaves.
Well, she does, but,
yeah.
You know, she could try to provoke him to make a move on her, and then Sissy catches them.
I guess I'm glad they didn't go through the whole process of Vanya discovering herself again.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the kids tell her, they're like, oh yeah, you did this. She's like, wow, sorry.
Yeah. Well, I meant like her sexuality.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? She doesn't go through the whole, like, well, I'm supposed to like men because that's how it is, but why do I have these feelings for women? Like, she didn't forget that part of herself, is what I mean. She forgot everything else, but you know. I don't know. It was a great episode.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's not a choice. It's just ingrained.
Right. But again, people who, when it's ingrained with them, they also fight against it because they think it's not quote unquote socially acceptable or it's wrong because that's how they were raised. Fair enough. So they have to fight against. I know people that personally waited, you know, dealt with that to their mid 30s. So they finally accepted this is who I am.
And we're proud of you for it.
Not me.
Okay.
I'm being sincere. I'm not doing a bit like you're doing a bit. But anyhow, so we got 5 episodes left this season. We just watched the 5th episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
High score?
Fuck.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. Did I remember to watch that one? Was it the Nintendo episode?
This was the Nintendo
episode. Yes, I watched it.
See, I'm really excited. Not for this episode, which was good, but basically I've known all this stuff a lot. Like, this is all stuff that I've seen a million times over.
Yeah.
Unlike the
first episode before. The first episode, I learned a lot of new stuff. I knew a lot of the Atari stuff. This episode was a lot of rerun, but it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm excited for the next episode because it's all about RPGs.
Well, and the upcoming episodes, I'm going to be learning a lot more because my gaming didn't end with Nintendo. Pretty close thereafter.
Yeah. So there was a lot about this, you know, the beginning of Nintendo. They did playing cards.
Yeah. How they did, like, in the 1800s, they did playing cards.
Yep. We got, because this wasn't just the story of Nintendo's rise to fame. We also got a couple of different side stories. We had the Nintendo Power Counselors.
Yes.
I called them once or twice.
Holy crap, I never did.
Nerve-wracking because, you know, you had to get your parents' permission because it was going to show up on the phone bill.
Yeah.
And my mother would be like, keep it to, like, 1 minute so that your father doesn't notice, you know? And so it was, like, really quick. But, yeah, that was the only way you could do things. There was no internet.
Right. You had the Nintendo Power magazine that might have tips and tricks in it. Otherwise, like they said, you could go on YouTube now and watch. But before then, you couldn't. You had to call the Nintendo Power line, which I never did.
Yep. I had to once or twice because things – I could figure out most stuff, but there were a couple of things. I wish I could remember one for an example.
Yeah.
But there were some things that I just couldn't
do. I remember reading Nintendo Power, like, at Mr. Paperback.
Yep.
Flipping through and being like, oh, crap, I need to buy this episode because it has these Zelda cheats in it.
Yep.
Because you couldn't just take a picture of it with your phone.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, I got to buy this along with my wrestling magazines I'm buying today.
And I remember that with the Nintendo Power hotline – you could actually call, and the newest games, they'd have them, like, you know how now it's like, you know, press 1 for English?
Yes.
They'd have, like, you know, if you're stuck on this boss in this game, and you're like, I am, because it was something that was happening over and over again. So they had pre-recorded messages.
Sure.
Eventually. So, yeah, that was nice, too.
We also get a nice history of the 1990 Nintendo World Championships.
Exactly.
You know, from the kid that won the 10-year-old category at the time.
Jeff Hansen.
Yeah. We get his story from the first round where he didn't win, and then his parents believed in him. They took him to Florida, and
Tetris was going to be one of the games. His third prize was a Game Boy with Tetris.
Yes.
And so he just played nothing but Tetris 24 hours a day.
Yep. I thought it was interesting how they had, like, he had that cartridge.
Yep.
And I'm trying to remember now if on the NES documentary that we watched, that was one of the cartridges that they were trying to find.
I think it was. Because there were only so many of them.
I'm going to have to go back and watch it, I think.
Okay. what was it? Oh, yeah. So they talked about how they tried to create their own Space Invaders.
Yes.
And Nintendo created all of these arcade cabinets that were called Radar Scope.
Yeah.
And they shipped them all to the U.S. and they sat in a fucking warehouse. Never saw the light of day.
Yeah.
Nobody cared. We already have Space Invaders. Why would we care about this? It wasn't until all the cabinets were repurposed as Donkey Kong.
Yes. And then Nintendo, I didn't know about this. Nintendo got sued by Universal Pictures for alleged copyright infringement over King Kong and Donkey Kong.
Yep. Saying that the word Kong was synonymous with their big ape and it was infringing on their.
And it was cool how John Kirby.
Jack Kirby.
John, but yeah, Jack Kirby. Basically, it was like, horseshit.
Yeah.
Look at all this other stuff that's been established that Kong means something big.
But you're even giving him more, like, emphasis than he gives. Like, this is one of the most.
Oh, yeah.
Bland, vanilla, low-key, monotone guys.
Yes, he was.
Like, it was ridiculous.
I mean, but.
But he did a lot of research, is what he said.
It was cool how he presented his case.
Oh, yeah. He did a lot of research and said, you know, we've gone back through. We even went to Japan and talked to them. And Kong just means big gorilla.
Yeah.
You know, it's a common word there. You use Kong for everything.
You know, and he came up with all these examples how Kong is used to describe. And then I didn't realize this, but it makes sense. Nintendo then made the Kirby game and based it on Jack Kirby and even made it kind of look like him.
A little pink puffball. Yeah. And he, to this day, Kirby is one of the most prolific characters. I won't say the most popular, but like even the new Smash Brothers game that they just came out with, the gimmick behind it was that everybody was warped away to this other world and they were trapped. The one that escaped it was Kirby, and he has to go and rescue everybody else, and that's how you unlock more fighters. So
The man, Jack Kirby, he died last year, so they dedicated to this one at the end of the episode. But no, what a great, I mean.
We got to see Shigeru Miyamoto,
yes,
the creator of Mario.
Yes, that was awesome.
And I wish I had written down his name, but the guy who did the first, Tanaka, who did the first.
Oh, Hirokazu Tanaka.
Yeah.
Whose whole job was making music for video games.
Music and sound effects. Loved it.
Yeah.
The stuff that that guy came up with, like he said, you know, he's like, back then we didn't have the computer systems that you have set up. You know, I was trying to make it off existing notes, existing sounds that came out of computers, you know? And phenomenal.
Yeah, again, so the next episode is called Role Players. We have RPGs, and then we have This Is War, which the console wars between Sega and Nintendo. Then we get fighting games, and then the final episode is called Level Up, which is the transition from 2D to 3D graphics.
So I'm assuming we're going to get a second season, and it's going to start covering more 3D.
I hope so, because there's a lot more things they need to cover.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. How did this get made? The toys that made us. Not how did this get made. The toys that made us. This show, High Score, and the movies that made us. Man. Like, I can't get enough of all three of these.
Yep.
I absolutely love all three of these. Yeah.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
We didn't talk about it yet. Biohackers.
We didn't talk about Biohackers yet or Teenage Bounty Hunter.
Well, here's the thing. And we didn't talk about Hannibal.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Biohackers. All right. I don't know if you picked up on this. So I turned the episode on, episode 2, Secrets. And the episode ends.
Correct.
And do the thing where automatically it's going to play the next episode. And I hit stop. And then there's a huge chunk.
Yep. It was the same movie the first episode. Yeah,
there's 10 minutes of credits on a 40-minute show.
Yes.
That is so fucking absurd.
Because like I said, I walk to these episodes a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so I'll look at it and I'll be like, okay, it's a 48-minute episode. That's how long I'm going to be walking.
Yeah.
And it throws me off every time with Biohackers because suddenly it'll be like credits. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Because I noticed it with the first episode.
I didn't notice it on the first episode.
It's crazy.
Fucking 10 minutes of credits. A fucking quarter of the show is credits.
It's insane, isn't it?
Why?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, is there something special about these credits?
I actually fast-forwarded to see if there was like another scene.
Nothing.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
There's nothing special about these credits whatsoever.
So, Biohackers, I don't want to say, it's going to sound bad, but I'm waiting for this to get good.
Like, me too.
It's not bad.
It's,
and I know that Dark took a little while to really get moving.
And I think that's why I'm sticking with it so much. It's because at the same time, though, we haven't gone back to what happened on the train from the first episode. So that's piqued my interest enough that I kind of want to see what's going on.
I mean, in this episode, we got to find out that her parents, Mia's parents, were killed in a car accident.
Yes.
Probably on purpose.
They make it not – it's implied that Dr. Lorenz there ran them off the road and then took some files out of the vehicle as Mia pretended to be dead.
Yeah, left them all for dead.
And this has to do with at her brother's funeral.
Yep.
When Dr. Lorenz, it's being established or implied that, you know, like her dad basically said, like, yeah, I'm not going to let, basically threatened her.
Yep.
And said, or said, I'm going to reveal what happened. Mm-hmm. Because apparently, we get Mia has a flashback to when she's a kid and how her and her brother participated in some sort of study for Lorenz and her dad, and her brother died.
Yep.
And basically her parents are kind of blaming Lorenz for the death, and they have the
documentation and tests to prove it, and she kills him. That's my opinion. She runs them off the road and kills them.
And I think that's what we're supposed to believe.
Yeah.
A lot of the – it's funny. This episode was, again, like a half an hour basically because if you take out the credits. The basic premise of this whole episode was Mia trying to swap a DNA sample.
Yeah, it was. Yes.
So basically we start on the class and the professor that Dr. Lorenz there is asking them a question. She's like, you know, well, what did you get out of the book for this? And Mia's like, I didn't use the book. She's like, why didn't you use the book? She's like, well, the professor's like, why didn't she use the book? Can anybody tell me what's wrong with the book? And nobody can. She's like, it's 3 years old. Why are we even using it? It's garbage. Throw it away.
Everyone throw your books away that you spent $100 on a piece.
Yeah. And this was the second class. You'd think that would have come up in the first class. But basically she says she wants Mia to help with a fertility sampling that she's doing.
Right.
Because Mia's trying to stay close to her for
whatever purposes. It's a study about genetic markers related to hormones and female fertility.
Yep. And so.
And someone backs out of it.
And so she tells Mia, well, you're about the right age. You're going to get a, you're going to give a sample. She doesn't want her to know that.
Well, because Lorenz has, as she tells me, she has the DNA from every person she's ever tested on file forever.
Yep.
And she has Mia's childhood DNA, so it would match. And she'd find out that she's not, her name's not Mia.
So, Oleg, I really want it to be Oleg, but it's Oleg.
Yeah.
Or Ollie. He's the weirdo that she rooms with who was like cutting himself open and inserting stuff in his ribs and stuff.
Yeah.
He's now testing these underwater pills that if you take one, you could stay underwater for a longer period of time because it changes up the oxygen in your lungs.
Yeah, oxygenates your blood somehow.
And he's like, wait, you haven't had anything to drink in the past 24 hours because this does not mix with alcohol. So what she does is she invites her, the nudist roommate who is wearing a bikini, and she's like, are you ever going to put clothes on?
Yeah.
She's wearing a bikini.
She invites her because she's got blonde hair and it's her natural tolerant hair and she's got blue eyes just like Mia does. And so,
So she invites her down to the beach with the guys.
Yeah.
Gets her to drink a little bit after taking one of those pills. You know, oh, we could take these pills and stay underwater longer. It's a clever ruse.
Basically, it's a very elaborate way. She gets the DNA sample from her roofied roommate and then manages to talk her new boyfriend love interest into letting her into the lab that she's not supposed to be in, even though it's her second day, bringing in the drink that she's not supposed to bring in so she can accidentally spill it and then switch out the samples. It was very
awkward,
over the top, kind of whodunit-ish, kind of like
dumb,
not believable.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb. It was just really dumb to watch, and it was kind of painful. And then she even puts the label on wrong because she's got it behind her, and her boyfriend notices that it's upside down, takes it off, puts it on right side up, never tells the professor, you know, oh, she was in there, and I know that one of these samples was messed with. And so he's covering for her.
Yeah, so this episode was really kind of weak sausage for me.
Yeah. Again, I'm waiting for it to get good like Dark did.
Yes. So hopefully it does in the next episode.
Yep.
I mean, we've only got 6 episodes for this season, so I mean, we're we're a third of the way done.
Yep. Teenage Bounty Hunters?
Fucking loved it.
It's funny. My sister came to talk to me, and she's like, "I am 3 episodes into this show, Teenage Bounty Hunters, and it is awesome." I'm like, isn't it? It's just great.
I'm very surprised how much I enjoy it. I love. I'm just going to jump ahead to where Sterling is drunk, and they try to do the twin talk while she's drunk, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
Pizza.
Yeah, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Yep. The basic is that there's a woman who's beheading Confederate statues.
Yeah.
She's got a bounty on her head because she was basically in jail, skipped out on her bail.
Skipped bail, yep.
So they're going to go after her. They meet some guys who call themselves sisters.
Well, they're part of. Well, here's it. Okay. Yes, they're the sisters of the sisters of the Confederacy, which is not a real thing because it's the daughters of the Confederacy.
Yeah.
And it's I'm sister, but they're all men. But they're sister this and sister that, and they're like, well, can't you get with the times? But basically, they're.
This was a very appropriate for this time.
Yeah.
Because she's going around cutting the heads off Confederate statues and.
Yeah.
Her motivation, it turns out, is that she's only doing them in front of schools because she doesn't think the kids should have to look out and see symbols of oppression and slavery.
Well, yeah, she made her statement was like, you know, when I was a kid, I'd walk outside from my school and there right there is a statue of a man that used to own people like me.
Yep.
So fuck them.
Plus, it was in the shape of a penis.
Yeah. Oh, she goes, plus, the layout, those are in the shape of a penis, da, 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 which the twins figure out. And their boss is like, no, that's not it at all. That's just a weird coincidence. But, yeah. I mean, it's weird. So half the episode, there's a lot of racial talk involving Confederate statues being cut down, dealing with like people still celebrating the Confederacy.
Yep.
For the wrong reasons. Dealing with
the right reasons.
Well, historical context is the right reason, not because this is pride of the South.
Okay. Okay.
Like historically it happened.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't erase it from the history pages because
right. But we shouldn't celebrate it.
But we shouldn't celebrate it, yeah. That's what I mean by it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you used the word celebrate, and I'm like...
I didn't mean celebrate, but commemorate or talk about. Whatever. I use celebrate in the terms of, like, the reasoning that why they're talking about is for the wrong reasons.
Aggrandize.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's funny because you have, like, the twins that are just like, we lost that war. Let it go. Move on. But at the same time, you have other people, like their grandfather...
Oh, Big Daddy.
Big Daddy was very upset that they're destroying these monuments mm-hmm. of our proud Southern heritage.
Mm-hmm.
You also have when Blair goes on a date with Miles, who works as a bellhop at their ballet at their country club.
Yep.
They go on, she invites him on a date. She goes on a date.
No, he keeps trying to go out with her.
So she agrees, and they go to basically like a Sam's Club.
She's like, or I'm going to make this the most basic, like, I'm going to, it's a pity date, kind of.
Yeah.
She's like, this will be the most basic thing so that it qualifies as a date and he'll leave me alone.
And then she sees that he's hot when he's wearing regular clothes and she wants to, so it goes awkwardly terrible. And then she invites herself along to go to a party at his sister's college friends.
Yeah.
And then when she shows up dressed appropriately for a party, he's like, oh crap, she's hot. That's when Sterling gets drunk off her ass and puts it on her Instagram.
Because Sterling is struggling with the fact that she no longer has a group. She can't be with her church friends. She tries to go with the bad kids, but they're like full on into Satanism. But like in a nice way.
Yeah. She tries to go to the fellowship meeting, but the bitch there, Amy, right? Basically blocks her out saying, we're still dealing with what you guys did. And we're even bringing in a grief counselor for next time. And we just can't handle it. Yeah. Just antiquated pansy bullshit.
Yep.
So she gets drunk and she kind of puts it on Instagram story while she's drunk. And then she discovers that they're all in front of schools based on looking at a map and then throws up on it.
Awesome. Throw up.
Yeah. Blair basically says like, well, she's talking about Clea Kincaid, the girl cutting the statue heads of the statues off. And she says, like, well, I think we can all agree what she's doing is a great thing. And then, of course,
they're all black.
Well, right. And then the college girl is like, what do you mean? Because we're all black, so we have to agree. You know, like, and I think Blair's not saying it in that tone, and that's the way it's being taken. But then Miles takes a stance that is surprising, which is like, I think those statues need to be there so we can remember how fucked up and shitty things are and things were, and not forget the things that they did.
Right.
So that was interesting.
Yep.
It's,
yeah, we learned this episode that Blair is definitely the, activist
of
the family, because when they go to have brunch with Mama and Big Daddy, they tell her that, you know, Dad's looking for a promotion. Do not say anything about anything. They don't want her to talk about the girl who's cutting the heads off the statues, and they have the little twin talk, and she's like, I've got to say something. It's just going to come out of me like vomit. And so she's definitely the activist of the two.
They do catch the girl who's cutting the head off the last statue, but Bowser and them, they let her finish her job before they take her into custody.
Because he says, I'm here to take her in because she jumped bail. I didn't say I don't agree with what she's doing.
Exactly.
Then we got a shocking twist at the
end. Their dad quits his job.
Yeah.
And his wife's like, what happened to the man I married? You used to have balls, now you don't.
because he works at a firm with that Big Daddy owns.
Yeah.
And his brother is ahead of him.
Is a partner in the firm, and he's not.
Yeah.
He just works there. But he's like, but I make good money. We're doing good. Who cares?
They're doing really well.
And she's basically like, yeah, but you used to have balls when I married you. Now you don't. And so basically he, quote unquote, grows a pair and says, you know, I do more than anyone else for this company. I've worked my ass for this company. And so fuck you. I quit. And his wife was like, what?
And then, of course, Big Daddy does the passive-aggressive thing and goes, boy, I was looking forward to retiring and putting you and your brother in charge. But,
making you a full partner, but I guess I won't.
And he's like, no, you won't. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. So he, like, sticks to it. And then he tells his mom off. He's like, if you don't have something nice to say about my wife, you will not say anything at all.
If that's all right with you.
Yeah. And then he does the whole, you know, grabs his wife by the back of the head, dips her down, kisses her passionately, and says, you got your husband back. And then marches upstairs like, come pleasure me.
Now, I'm still waiting for the shoot of the drop on her where we find out that $90,000 bail bounty is her.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that poster again.
Yeah.
And, of course, the episode ends when Sterling goes, you know, walks into a room and her mother's like, we told you if you're going to live under our house that you wouldn't be doing it, that, you know, there'd be no drinking. And you drank. Oh, I'm so sorry, mother, blah, 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 blah. And then she points outside. So I guess you won't be sleeping under our house, and there's a tent set up outside in the backyard.
Yep. So that's what she, that's how we end that one.
I'm really digging this show. Like, I thought it was going to be too unrealistic for these two girls to be doing bounty hunting, these two, you know, high school kids. But they've made the characters believable with their knowledge of weapons. Yep. They've made the characters believable with just their actions. Mm-hmm. They don't feel Mary Sue-ish at all.
Nope.
You know, like when they discover like the penis thing, it's almost like, ha, ha, ha. And then
because you know what? We all look for penises and stuff.
And I love like, but why does it look like it has three testicles? Because some guys have three testicles. Remember when Dada had his testicle ripped in half? Oh, yeah, that's right. So he technically has three testicles. And then Bowser's walking away as they're continuing to talk. I almost want to turn the subtitles on to see what they're saying. And then later on, when she just happens to see a map at this college, it shows schools and the statues. And she kind of puts, you know, one and one together. So.
Yep.
Are we down to Hannibal?
We're down to Hannibal.
All right. Hannibal. Holy fucking shit.
The last two episodes of season two.
Oh, my God. Dude, the final episode of this season was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And you sent me a message and you're like, I want to watch the next episode.
I do.
I'm like, slow down.
I want to watch season three, episode one.
Well, we got three episodes to watch. Because remember, that's how we do it. 3, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
Let's not do 3 this week.
Okay.
Because of my training the next 2 weeks.
And your hemorrhoids.
I don't have hemorrhoids.
It's okay. You're in a safe space.
I don't have the hemorrhoids. But I don't have much time to watch stuff this week. And we're watching a lot of shows.
Whenever we say we don't have enough time to watch things, we find that we've watched more stuff.
I know. But I don't want to take that risk.
I hear you.
So let's just do 2 this week. And we can do 3 later on, like after I'm done.
Like the last 3 of the? Because these will be the last 3, period.
We'll do the last 3 together, yeah.
Okay, so 2. So tell us about these last 2 episodes.
So episode 12.
2. Episodes.
Yeah, I know.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page here, buddy.
I only watched 2 episodes.
As did I.
Okay, then. So episode 12. Basically, we get the conclusion of the whole Mason and Margot and Lecter and Graham storyline in this episode.
Yeah. Will's being much more open with Lecter.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, by the way, I told Mason that you want him dead.
Yeah. Why'd you do that? Well, because.
Yeah.
But the long and the short of it, Mason kidnaps Lecter.
Yep.
And kind of straitjacks him and ties him up, and he's going to feed him to his pigs.
Yep. Lecter had said that he wants Mason dead because he's being discourteous.
Yes.
I like how he, like, that's his thing. He was being discourteous to me.
In the interim, they come and pick up Graham. Mason comes and picks up Graham and takes him to the house. And basically he's like, look, here he is. And while 3 of Mason's henchmen go to kidnap Lecter, he kills one of them.
Uh-huh.
Stabs him in the femoral artery in his leg. And when he pulls the blade out, Lecter, oh, shouldn't have done that. Yeah. Blood starts just gushing out. And so these guys, it's their brother or friend. So they want
Lecter dead. Mm-hmm. And basically he's like, you kill him, you don't get any money.
Right.
And then he passes the knife to Graham and basically tells Graham, go ahead, do it.
Yep.
And Graham frees Lecter, spins him around, cuts him loose. And while he's cutting him loose, he gets clubbed in the back of the head. And then when Graham wakes up, there's blood everywhere. Everyone's gone. The pigs are going crazy. He raises up the thing, and one of the two henchmen now is only half of him is hooked and been fed to the pigs. The other one is probably in the pigs, or we don't know.
Yep. Now, we did, while that was happening, we did see Will talking to Jack, and Jack knows everything. Jack knows that Will is playing Hannibal. They're actually working on this together. So we're kind of getting some resolution there. We also saw Gillian Anderson is back.
Yes. She came back and basically she said that she killed one of her clients.
Yep.
She killed a patient because she got immunity when she said all this. Basically, she said, I killed a patient because Lecter talked me into it.
I put this in quotes. What Hannibal does is not coercion. It's persuasion.
Yes.
So he doesn't coerce you in like blackmail.
Yeah.
He just persuades you to do it. He makes you want to.
And we've seen him do it multiple times over, you know, with this Hannibal Lecter and enjoys having crazy ass fucking patients that he persuades to do things just because he wants to fuck with people and see what they'll do.
Yep. And Will tells Hannibal straight outright, you know, Hannibal's like, well, what do you think's going on? He's like, you're fostering codependency to make sure that I will only come to you.
Yep.
Sardinians. That's
who they were. So Graham goes home. And when he gets home, we don't see it because it's in shadow. Mm. But Mason is cutting off his own face and feeding it to Graham's dogs.
Because Hannibal dosed him with a lot of psychedelic compounds.
Yes, yes.
A big mixture of different psychedelics.
Yep. And then Lecter asks Graham, what should we do with it?
Yeah.
And Graham's like, he's your patient, you decide. And so Hannibal breaks his neck. But apparently he's so proficient in breaking necks, he doesn't kill him.
Yeah.
He just paralyzes him.
Because
We see Mason again when Crawford goes and talks to him. And he's got like kind of a mask on from like the nose down covering his face. And he's in a bed and Margot's taking care of him. And Mason basically says, oh, well, I had a mishap with my pigs.
Yeah. He says that he fell, broke his neck. The pigs ate part of his face.
Yeah. It's crazy how things like that happen.
So, that's it. We ended episode 12.
And then we get episode 13.
Which, again, the first episode of this season, we saw the, you know, what was it? 13 weeks earlier or something like that?
12 weeks.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, we're seeing a game between Lecter and Crawford and Graham, where Graham is playing that he's partnered with Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
And Graham is also partnered with Crawford to the point where we don't know who he's actually, what side he's on.
Right.
You know, Graham is trusting that Crawford is, I mean, Crawford's trusting that Graham is on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Lecter and Graham have decided they need to kill Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
And Crawford and Graham have decided that Crawford needs to kill Lecter.
Yep.
So it almost
gets invited to a dinner party.
It almost feels like Graham is the one who's persuading both Graham and Lecter at this point.
Yes.
It's like the student has become the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. At the same time, though, Cynthia Nixon's character is there.
Yep.
And I can't think of what her name is on the show. But basically,
Jack's all, he's got shooters, he's got, you know, agents, he wants to surround the place. And she basically comes in and says, like, hell you will.
Yeah, she basically puts a kibosh to everything. She says, look, the only person we know that actually killed anyone is Graham.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he's walking around.
Yeah. And basically puts the kibosh on all this, says that we're going to do things by the book. We're going to arrest Graham. We're going to arrest Lecter. We're going to investigate.
Doesn't she suspend Jack, too?
No, she suspends Jack. Her turns over stuff. And Abigail's like, you can't do this.
Yeah.
Jack and Graham are the closest to stopping Lecter, as anyone has been. Lecter's not going to – he's going to see through anything you try to do. And Graham's not going to stop. Even though you've taken his gun, he's not going to stop. And he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
essentially. And that's when he shows up at Lecter's and they have the big fight. And from the first episode.
I had to stop taking notes here because it was just so intense I couldn't take my eyes off the screen.
Oh, fuck yeah. It was crazy.
So we saw that fight. What we didn't see in the first episode is that Alana.
Yeah.
Shows up and she hears the struggling and she calls in.
I said Abigail earlier. I meant Alana.
Alana. She calls in that she hears gunshots.
Yes.
At this residence. Now, you and I have both dispatched.
Sure.
The response for gunshots reported.
Yeah.
In Maine.
Yeah,
it's fast.
Yeah, it is.
Down there in Virginia.
Much faster.
Especially where she works for the FBI.
Right.
She would have had people there then, immediately.
Yep.
Local police, FBI, everything. Stateies. So anyway, that was a bit unbelievable. But she goes in with the gun that, you know, Graham gave her. And
so Lecter's trying to break in through the door to where Jack is now in there injured. He's got stab wounds in him.
Cave, essentially.
Yeah, and he's got a neck wound that he's trying to, you know, patch up.
Using his tie to try to cinch it off.
And Alana has Lecter at gunpoint. And basically we see Lecter at his most primitive. Mm-hmm. Where basically says, you can walk away and forget everything now or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I will never pursue you. I'll never try to kill you.
Yep. But if you, unless you leave, but if you insist on staying, then I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. She pulls the trigger.
And click. And he says, I took your bullets a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the chase is on. And she gets upstairs into a room and gets the door shut and loads her gun and shoots it at the door a couple times. And basically says, I found some more bullets. And then you see, which I thought was a body swinging back and forth between the bullet holes and the door. And Elena turns around because she feels someone in the room. And there's Abigail Hobbs. She's alive and well.
Yeah.
And she's crying. And she says, I'm so sorry. And throws her out the fucking window.
Yeah. Shoves her right out the window.
And she falls.
We get a nice slow motion falling with the raindrops and the glass.
Yep.
And lands square on her back. Now, at the end of the episode, she's not dead. Her eyes are still moving.
Elena?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, but she's fucked up.
So
Graham shows up and finds Elena on the ground injured.
Yeah.
Runs in the house. Phones for help.
Yep.
Now, like you said, Elena's already called for help. No one showed up. Now Graham has called for help.
Very unrealistic.
Yes. But I'm okay with it all. He finds Abigail. And she apologizes, stating that she only told her what Lecter told her to do, and she didn't know what else she could do.
Yeah, she had no idea what to do, so she just followed his orders.
Well, clearly she's kind of brainwashed, persuaded, scared, whatever it is. And Lecter shows up, and Graham says, why are you here? I told you to leave. And he goes, we couldn't leave without you.
Because he did. He called him and said.
Yeah. Crawford's coming to kill you.
Yep.
And that's right. That's important. And Lecter says, oh, couldn't leave without you. And then stabs Will.
Yep.
Like, kind of guts him.
Yeah.
And Will's on the ground, like, bleeding out. And then he basically tells Will why Abigail's still alive and what he did. And then it says, Abigail, come here. And, and then Lecter forgives Graham for his betrayal because he apparently knew the whole time he was playing both sides.
Yep.
Which makes sense.
But he says that he wasn't going to leave without all three of them.
Yeah.
He said, all of us have to leave together.
So he calls Abigail over, and she just walks over, and he turns around, and she's completely brainwashed. And then he just slits her throat, and she doesn't make a noise. Will's the one that cries out. I had to watch that twice, to be honest. She's just like, okay, you're going to kill me now? Okay. And she just, she's been waiting for this day.
Yep.
She's been waiting for the day that he's going to kill her.
Yep.
And he does. And basically, Graham is left there bleeding out. He's clutching on to Abigail, who's dying in front of him. And next thing we know, we see, you know.
Jack's dead.
Is he dead?
Well, we believe he's dead because there's blood everywhere. He went to call his wife. He didn't call for help. He called his wife.
Yes.
And we could see that she picked up and she's like, hello, Jack, hello. Right. So we assume he's dead. Alana,
we assume she's dead or dying.
Yep.
Graham's dead or dying. Abigail's definitely dead.
But I think he stabbed Will just right because he wants Will to take the fall for this.
Probably.
He wants it to look like, because Abigail would have stabbed him like that.
Oh, yes.
Because that's how her dad did it.
That's true.
So he found her, found out that she was alive, and so Hannibal just walks away. And we finally get to see some police lights coming.
Yeah, and he's last seen on a plane.
Yep.
I can't wait to watch episode one of season three.
I'm disappointed that there's only three seasons and that they had planned seven.
There's still talk. There's lots of rumors of a season of a show coming back. I want to jump to rumor to news real quick.
Yeah, let's jump to news.
And it's kind of why I held off on Hannibal for the end, because on movies this week I watched Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Excellent film, by the way. Oh, I haven't seen it in years. Yeah. Excellent film. I think I like Mads Mikkelsen's Hannibal Lecter better than Anthony Hopkins now.
I do too.
But. Where is it? Okay, so Brian Fuller had stated that after season four, his plan for season five was to have Clarice Starling
on the show. Nice.
Yes. And he wanted to cover the events in the movie Silence of the Lambs in season five if he could have gotten the rights from MGM.
Mm-hmm.
He also stated that season six would have covered the movie in the events in the movie Hannibal.
Yep.
And that season seven would have been an original storyline resolving Hannibal's ending.
Awesome.
So that was his plan of attack. So season four was going to be a continuation of, I guess, Mindhunter or Red Dragon, And then season five would have introduced Clarice. And he was looking at him. And in his mind, the perfect Clarice for him was Ellen Page.
Mm, I could see that.
So that would have been his ideal Clarice.
With Anya Taylor-Roberts. Anya Taylor-Joy.
Okay, yeah. Now, so while I was looking up this, I also found out, and maybe we talked about this, maybe we didn't, but apparently CBS, back in May of this year, May of 2020, picked up the series by Alex Kurtzman and Jenny Lament on Clarice Starling.
Hmm.
And it's going to be, and they casted Rebecca Breeds, who's an Australian actress, as Clarice.
Okay.
So apparently that's a new show we're going to be getting on CBS, whereas Hannibal is on NBC.
Right.
So it'd be interesting if Hannibal does come back, say we get a season four on Netflix.
I want it to be on Netflix so that they can actually go a little bit darker.
Same here. Say we get a season four on Netflix, now we get a season five with this new Clarice show. Are they going to be able to have
right.
the same character or not? Does that affect their ability to portray things from Silence of the Lambs? Does this Clarice Starling show have Hannibal Lecter in it?
Hmm.
So I'm wondering if the CBS show is going to fuck up them doing any more Hannibal episodes or maybe another season of Hannibal. Because realistically, you know, Clarice without Hannibal is who gives a shit.
Right.
We'll
stick on news.
Okay. I got to charge that. Okay, X-Files animated series.
Yes.
It's in the works.
I almost said that to you, and I'm like, just wait for it. And suddenly you're like, look.
It's kind of in the works. It's going to be some early stories. It's animated.
Yeah. Did they say whether or not they're going to have the voice acting?
They didn't really reveal more than that. I would love to think they're going to get David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson to play, you know, Mulder and Scully, because it would be wrong if they didn't.
Right.
But I'll watch it. That's all I got.
Oh, you said that you had a lot of news.
Oh, no, on that.
Oh, okay.
Mulan's going to be released on Disney Plus in December for all subscribers.
Yeah, I saw that.
What do you have?
Blumhouse is working together with John Carpenter to reboot The Thing.
Really?
Really.
Oh, I can get behind. Well, I can get behind that because John Carpenter's involved in Blumhouse.
And Blumhouse did The Invisible Man recently.
And they do great, yeah.
So, yeah.
Sylvester Stallone released on his Twitter, Instagram, or whatever,
uh-huh.
that he is doing a 35th, they're doing a 35th anniversary of Rocky IV.
Uh-huh.
And it's supposed to come out this year, and he is recutting the film.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest things he said, he's removing the robot from the film.
Which people are pissed about.
Well, because he felt that it really jeopardized the seriousness of the film and what it stood for, and he didn't like it to begin with.
It was stupid.
Yeah, it was. So he's going to cut the robot out, but does that mean he's going to put other stuff in?
Yes. He said that it's going to be a director's cut. There's going to be extended scenes. People wanted the robot to be in more scenes.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to be in there at all.
Right.
So it'll be interesting because, like, he hasn't done this with any of his other films before. Mm-mm. So this robot really must have pissed him off.
Yeah.
Speaking of Sylvester Stallone, he is working on a new Rocky film and a new Creed film.
Oh, interesting.
So they're both in the works type of thing. So the new Rocky film is basically he is going to be training another young it's someone who's in the country illegally who can't get home because he's trapped here illegally or whatever, and he's got a lot of rage and anger issues, and Rocky's going to focus that and tunnel that on fighting.
Okay.
Creed 3, Michael B. Jordan's already said, yeah, I'll do another Creed because why wouldn't he? And this one,
his Marvel career kind of isn't going anywhere right now.
Right, right. And this one, he's allegedly going to be fighting the son of Clubber Lang, Mr. T character.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's solid.
And apparently he already has someone in mind and he had a name and I forgot to write it down. So. Okay. I got a bunch of horror movies listed coming out next year.
Oh, yeah?
What do you got for news, though?
Well, I think one of the big stories that, you know, speaking of what we were just talking about, Chadwick Boseman. Okay. Yeah. This was a guy who was a year younger than me.
Yeah.
He's a couple years older than me.
He's been fighting, or he was fighting this cancer for years and never told anybody.
Well, diagnosed in 2016 with stage 3 colorectal cancer, elevated this year to stage 4, and he passed away.
Yeah. And worked through it. He did publicity through it. Like, he didn't want to just go down.
My wife asked me, because she doesn't watch the movies I watch like this.
Right.
But she made the mention, she's like, what's everyone all worked up, or why is there so much news about this guy that died that was in the Marvel movies? I go, Chadwick Boseman. She's like, yeah. I go, because no one knew he had cancer. Like, it wasn't publicly known.
Right.
And so when he died, like, I'm scrolling through my Twitter feed, and I follow him on Twitter, and all of a sudden I see a post, and it's just a picture of him, and then I'm reading it, and it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I think it's because it surprised everybody so much.
Yeah.
If we'd known that he'd been battling cancer for years, we read that he died, it'd be more of like, oh, that's too bad.
Sucks. We saw cancer it coming, sucks.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nah, it's really unfortunate. You know, we're thankful. But instead it was just like, hey, Chadwick Boseman has stage 4 cancer, and he's dead. And it was just like,
not only is it tragic because he was an amazing person, he was a great actor,
yes.
He was, you know, he was Black Panther, but beyond even that, it's a reminder that it could happen to any of us.
Right.
You know, it hit people with a reminder of mortality.
Yes.
That
tremendously.
Yeah.
And it was shocking.
Yeah.
ABC last night played Black Panther and then had a ABC News special after the movie was over talking about him and his death and everything.
I really hope they don't recast him.
So this is my thought, and I think this would be the perfect time to do this, cast a female as the new Black Panther.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm saying,
and have it be not his sister, but like maybe like I can't think of her name now, the head guard.
Yep.
That's already an established character. Have her become the new Black Panther in the movies. Because, you know, it's like they've done it in the comics where they've made, you know, Thor a woman or whatever. I think now would be a fucking phenomenal time to cast a female in the Black Panther
movie. And I'm fine with that. I meant recast that character.
They can't.
Yeah.
They just can't. Not with this. Yes, they did it with Brody after the first Iron Man. It was early enough in the universe they could get away with it.
Yeah. Or the Hulk.
And they
because
did it.
They were passing along the different.
They did it with the Hulk twice, but now Mark Ruffalo. Once they established him, he's been running through. I really think they can't recast him. I think their best bet is to somehow kill him off screen or CGI something that have happened or whatever, and now we'll have a new female Black Panther. I think that's the best way to do it.
Yep.
Personally speaking,
I can get behind that.
Do you have any other news?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
This was actually really refreshing for me. The AV Club, I follow them.
Yeah.
They were talking about the New Mutants movie, and they were like,
which finally got released, everybody.
Yeah. They were like, we're not reviewing it.
I read a lot of that. A lot of places weren't going to review it.
For them, they said, you know, they contacted the, usually they get early release.
Digital screeners, yep. Private screenings for media.
The company was not doing that yep. this time. And they said, and we value our employees too much to send them to a movie theater because you know what? It's not safe.
Yep.
So they're not reviewing it because they're not going to go to the movie theater. I applaud that. I think too. That's great.
Yep.
Altered Carbon got canceled.
Oh.
Which reminded me, oh yeah, I haven't watched the second season yet.
Yeah.
Also, there's a show called I'm Sorry. I've talked about it a few times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny as shit. It's on Netflix. It got canceled, so there won't be another season of that.
What was the one with Katie Sackhoff in space?
Battlestar Galactica.
No. Jesus Christ. I fucking know that one.
Another Life or something like that?
That has new episodes coming.
Great.
It doesn't say when.
I remember we didn't.
No. Was it Another Life? I think it's that one. Yeah.
What else you got kicking around over there?
I just got a bunch of release dates on horror movies.
Go for it.
Escape Room 2, okay. January 1st.
Okay.
These are all 2021. Mm-hmm. Every movie on this list is a sequel or a remake, or what I learned about reading from Mustache Shenanigans is called unaided awareness. It's a property that people already know about. Like Super Troopers 2 was unaided awareness because Super Troopers happened. Every fucking Marvel movie basically is unaided awareness because the already exists in the comic book world.
Okay.
So like, for instance, Escape Room 2 coming out January 1st. Paranormal Activity Part 7, March 19th. A Quiet Place Part 2, April 23rd.
Which was pushed back because it was supposed to come out this fall.
Yep. Spiral. Coming out May 21st, which is
Saw 1.
Saw 10, if you will. But these are all unaided awareness movies. So it's easy to do marketing campaigns. It's easy to sell on these. It's
right.
You know, the Mustache Shenanigans book, which I finished reading, I got to really say real quick, if you love the Super Trooper movies, it's a great read. It's also a really good read on learning about the frustration of releasing a movie, worry about the learning about the frustration of dealing with studios and trying to get a movie made and trying to have an original movie that comes out. Antlers is the only original movie on the list that I was looking at. I didn't pull everything from the list. That comes out February 19th. And that actually looks really solid. It has to do with kids in the woods, you know, father son type of thing in the woods in the winter and everything. Antlers, you know, hunting, looks really good actually, but it's the only like original horror movie that made their list. June 4th, The Conjuring. Yeah, another movie in the Conjuring title, except it's The Devil Made Me Do It. Much like the Curse of Lolona, which was part of the Conjuring plan, it's based on a true event somehow. This one is the murder trial of Arnie Cheyenne Johnson from 1981, claiming he was under demonic possession when he committed his murder. July 19th, for The Forever Purge. And this is allegedly the final film in the franchise. October 15th, Halloween Kills.
Okay.
And then this was not on this list I saw. I saw this on David Arquette's Twitter feed. And it's literally just 6 seconds, almost like a GIF. But it's like, it's black and then it slowly reveals the Scream mask, which they call Ghostface.
Yep.
And then at the bottom it says 1/14/2022.
Hmm. Okay.
So Scream 5. What you got for news? I'm all done news.
So Resident Evil has announced that they're making a Netflix series, or Netflix has announced they're making a Resident Evil series. That sounds better. And this is interesting. It's going to be live action. It's not going to be animated, and it's going to deal with the Wesker kids. Now, you may not know that, in the first video game, the boss was Albert Wesker. He was like the head of S.T.A.R.S.
Okay.
But you find out, spoiler alert, you find out that he's actually the head of Umbrella. And
okay.
He was planted in S.T.A.R.S. to keep an eye on things and keep you guys. He also shows up in a number of other games, and he's basically a vampire. He's a badass, can't die, blah, blah, blah. So he's a constant thorn in your side throughout the games. This is going to deal with his kids. Apparently he's got twin daughters. The interesting thing about this series is that apparently it's going to have two timelines. There's going to be one before the incident in Raccoon City.
Okay.
And then one in the future after the incident. Most of the Earth has been destroyed or overrun by zombies. And one of the daughters is still around.
Okay.
So it's going to be bouncing back and forth between those two. So I can get behind that. And then these are a couple of interesting ones. There's an adult animated series coming to CBS All Access called The Multiverse, as in like multi-divorce.
Okay.
And it says that it's from Clerks and Family Guy producers.
Huh.
Family Guy executive producer Kirker Butler and The Grinch director Scott Mosier.
Okay, Clerks, yep, yeah.
Are teaming for The Multiverse, a new adult-oriented animated comedy headed for CBS All Access, the series among blah, blah, blah. Described the project as Marriage Story mixed with Rick and Morty. The Multiverse is a half-hour animated comedy about the Gundersons, a seemingly normal American family, mother, father, three kids, dealing with the complicated realities of divorce. However, instead of the kids having to spend every other weekend at their father's shitty bachelor apartment across town, they spend every other weekend with their warrior queen mother in her very exciting and often dangerous kingdom somewhere in the Multiverse.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I can get behind that. So this one, I know we've still got trailers and stuff, but this one sounds particularly interesting. I think you're going to love this. Hulu snags Kid 90 documentary from 80s kid Soleil Moon Frye.
Oh!
Former Punky Brewster star and future Punky Brewster star and 80s teen fashion icon Soleil Moon Frye has taken a collection of personal home videos featuring her friends and fellow teen actors and turned them into what sounds like a must-see documentary, especially for people who came of age in the late, early, and 90s. Hulu's acquired U.S. distribution rights to the documentary titled Kid 90, which includes previously unseen footage that Frye filmed of her famous friends in their teen years, including Brian Austin Green, Jenny Lewis, and the late Jonathan Brandis. Speaking with THR about her film, Frye said she had locked the videos away in a vault and had no plans to share any of them with the public. But when she revisited the footage, she had a change of heart. I often wondered if things had happened the way that I remembered them, and I finally decided to unlock the vault. What started as a documentary about my friends and our lives soon became a coming-of-age story about myself that has changed me forever. It's said to be composed from hundreds of hours of footage, along with voicemail recordings from the time, as well as current interviews with some of her friends from the era, David Arquette, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Stephen Dorff, Brian Austin Green, and Balthazar Getty all participated in interviews for the doc, which includes footage from Frye's personal videos of friends like Danny Boy O'Connor, kid star Justin Pierce, and Harold Hunter and Jonathan Brandis. The previously unreleased footage of Brandis and Hunter is particularly notable because both actors died in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, Brandis hung himself, if I remember correctly.
Frye's longtime friend, songwriter, and music producer Linda Perry is creating the original score for Kid 90.
That's cool. I can find that.
Yeah. Pretty badass because it's going to be actual footage from camcorder.
Yeah.
Movies?
Yeah. I watched, like I said, Silence of the Lamb. Kane and I watched Saw Parts 4 and 5 randomly. Nice. And then kind of had a family movie afternoon.
Of Saw 6?
No. On Disney Plus, they had a new Phineas and Ferb film.
Oh.
Candace Against the Universe.
Yep.
It was excellent. Phineas and Ferb is great. It's like probably my favorite new kids cartoon that my kids have watched. I've been like, this is fucking amazing.
Nice.
And I've gotten used to like Peppa Pig and stuff like that that Wesley likes. But like I can sit there and laugh at jokes in Phineas and Ferb that my kids laugh at. And then I laugh at jokes that they don't get because that's what Disney does.
Did you know the platypi have like a razor sharp claw in there?
Yes.
They can fuck people up.
Yes, they can.
They can fuck other animals up.
But no, this was
deadly.
This was great. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. And there's told a great, typical Phineas and Ferb story, great original music, great story. You know, it was good.
Nice.
Yeah. What'd you watch for movies?
I watched two movies.
Yeah.
One kept showing up on my Netflix queue over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. So I finally watched it. It's called Drunk Parents.
Oh, I've seen that one pop up a bunch too.
Yeah.
Adam Baldwin's in it.
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin, yeah.
And Salma Hayek.
How was it?
Confusing.
Yeah.
Basically, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, did I miss something here? But essentially, their daughter goes off to college, and they're broke. So they're trying to make money, so they decide to have a lawn sale. But they're in a very rich neighborhood.
Yeah.
They're rich people, but they're broke somehow.
Right.
So it's very confusing to watch. There's some funny parts. There's a lot of stars in there. Jim Gaffigan moves in next door. Well, he he doesn't Airbnb. He answers an ad on Craigslist to rent out the house of their neighbor who they're watching his house. And so they rent out his house to Jim Gaffigan. But then Jim Gaffigan and his parole officer show up to inform them that he is a sex offender. So they don't want him in their friend's house. So they just let him rent their house. And then he like changes the whole house. He makes a panic room and stuff like that. Meanwhile, there's other weird things going on. Joe Mangiello's in there with two of the shittiest kids in TV. I didn't really like it that much.
Okay. I'm not going to watch it.
I did watch one, We Summon the Darkness.
Oh, I've been – that's in my feed. Is it worth watching?
It's not bad. It's not – I'm not going to give you a hard sell on it, but if you've been wanting to watch it, I'd say check it out. It's got a good twist to it. But basically the story is it's the 80s. There's these three girls that are trying to go to a heavy metal concert, but there's Satanists out there murdering people.
Yep.
And that's all I'm going to say about
that. Okay. Cool.
Trailers. All me, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you sent me one, and I did want to discuss this because you basically were atoning for your sin.
Oh, come on.
You sent me the trailer for the Snyder Cut.
I did.
Justice League and said, fuck, why did I say we have to watch this?
I said, no. What I said was, well, I guess I really am an asshole for making us watch this. Yeah.
I was trying to be nice, but yeah. Dude, I can't believe that he set the trailer to Hallelujah.
I know.
You know who else did that recently? The Republican National Convention. And it was equally gross. But, dude, he set his own trailer
to
Hallelujah.
I know.
Like, look, guys, we're getting what we wanted. You're finally getting the cut that you deserve.
Yeah, it makes me hate it more. And the trailer doesn't even look good.
No, it doesn't.
I saw a lot of fanboys going crazy. Oh, my God, it's so amazing. I want to watch it for now. I can't fake it. No, this doesn't even look good.
No, it looks like shit.
It doesn't. It definitely does not look like the other movie in any way, shape, or form.
Nope.
It's literally a completely different film.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Fuck them.
It'll be interesting to see going forward how this affects canon.
Yeah.
For this DC universe. Is this Justice League the new Justice League and that's all that matters? Or are they still with canon with the old one because of what they've already done? And or maybe not. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah.
Watched a trailer. I don't even think I shared it with you. It's for Dragon's Dogma. It's an anime series coming to Netflix.
Nope.
I'm excited about it because I played the game by Capcom. It's a cool thing. Every 100 years or so, a dragon comes back.
Oh, that's cool.
Finds one person, plucks their heart out, eats it, and then they are connected to the dragon. And they have to slay the dragon or it'll destroy the world. It's an interesting thing. It was a cool game.
If they slay the dragon, do they die themselves?
Yep. It's the way it works.
That's okay. The way
it works, man. Enola Holmes.
So I did watch that second trailer, and I know the message I sent you was doesn't thrill me, but I'm still going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the trailer again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch the hell out of it.
Yeah. Helena Bonham Carter as Mrs. Holmes.
Yep.
Spontaneous.
Yeah, that looked great.
The girl from... Catherine Langford, who is in Cursed right now.
Yes, and she was in 13 Reasons Why, and she was supposed to be Tony Stark's teenage daughter in Endgame, but they cut her scene during a fantasy.
So I'm watching this trailer, and I'm like, okay, it's a teenage show. It's high school. It's teenage. Oh, it's called Spontaneous because kids are just spontaneously combusting.
Exploding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exploding.
Just at random.
Out of the blue.
Yep.
And
they don't know who or why or any. It's all completely random.
You know, first, everybody's panicking, but it looks like by the end, people are kind of accepting it. And they're just like, you know, well, it's going to happen. So,
and they just they quarantine all the kids at the school.
Yep.
Leave them all together, and like amid conversations, one of them will explode. And it's like, oh man.
Yep.
Yep.
I can't believe that this trailer existed, and I can't believe how much I want to watch it now. The Babysitter Killer Queen.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
The first one was just goofy fun.
Yes, it was.
And now we're getting a sequel, and it's a direct sequel with the same kid and the same kids that were killed, but now they're ghosts or something.
Yeah, they're if you watch the trailer, they've been given a second chance, but they only have like 3 days to fulfill the ritual they started and couldn't complete to the devil.
Yep.
And yeah.
Like I said in my message to you, I want to watch them back to back.
Yes.
Like, I want to watch The Babysitter followed by this one.
Yep. It's a back to back.
Maybe we'll even do a movie night of it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. The Stand just came out today.
Yeah, I saw that. You sent me that trailer. It's a reason, like I said earlier, to get CBS All Access in January.
And then the final one that I sent you today, The Haunting of Bly Manor.
Very, 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 very fucking excited about that. I love the scene at the end of the trailer where there's some monster in the background that's out of focus, making all kinds of noise, and the little girl turns around and goes, shh, and it stops making noise.
Yeah.
That actually creeped me out more than the fact that there was a monster, you know what I mean, than the monster sneaking up on the little girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Haunting of Hill House, like, yeah, no, this is going
to
be great.
This is one of those, I didn't even need to see the trailer to know I was going to watch this one.
Yeah. There was something that you had sent me the other day, a trailer, actually. And I watched it, and it was one of those ones, too, where I was like, I don't need to watch all this, The Babysitter. I don't need to watch all this, but I'm going to because I want to see the release. So I skipped to the end to see the release date at the end. Yeah.
It's coming out next month.
Yeah, like September 10th.
Yeah. By the way, it's August 31st. Happy almost September.
I know. It's fucking September in an hour and 45.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Anyhow, yeah, you can find us on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show.
Later.
Thank you.